The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Jarvis!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
PFW in Progress here. Gillette Stadium, Andy Hart and Paul Perillo in what has become an unfortunate regular occurrence on Wednesdays. No Fred Kirsch to start the show. We're hoping to get him soon because Andy and I like the portion of the show where we get to eat without having to really talk a lot. And Fred handles that stuff. But we will do our best to put that loss behind us, start looking forward a little bit. Although I do have a feeling, Andy, the 49ers game will remain a little bit more of a topic than the Jacksonville Jaguars will, and with good reason. But we are here with you today. Eric is up at Bill Belichick's press conference, heading out to practice. He'll be by
later.
Later. And hopefully we'll get Fred as well. Tom Brady did talk this morning. I'm just trying to get a couple of the administrative things done here. Let Andy catch up on his sandwich over there. Tom Brady spoke to the media this morning, talked about how all the losses are very hard to put in the rearview mirror. This one, no exception. Talked about finding out, the importance of learning from your mistakes, whether you win or lose. And that's how you identify what was actually beneficial, what experiences were beneficial in the long run. So a little bit about what we had so far this morning. It's been a quiet time here in Foxborough as the Patriots are going to get ready to get back to work today. They had a little bit of a walkthrough before practice today already, so we'll find out some of the things that have been pressing. I think one of the things, Andy, of interest to me is how they're going to approach these last couple of games in terms of the walking wounded. And they have a lot of guys that have been dealing with a lot of physical limitations, the offensive line pretty much inclusive, right across the line. That's another one that, again, we can hear.
I turned my mic off.
We can hear you. But I just think how much they're going to play guys like Wes Welker and Brandon Spikes and, the offensive line, as I mentioned, Rob Gronkowski. Do you bring him back now? Does your philosophy change with regard to having him back in the lineup? You started to practice him a little bit late last week. Clearly he's close. Do you risk it now, or does your mindset change? So I think those are some of the things that we're going to find out about. We'll see what the practice situation is like. With guys like Welker and Spikes. Spikes, to me, is clearly dealing with something physical. You might want to maybe limit his reps a little bit in the last couple of games here. As always, a lot of ways you can take part in our discussion. Web radio at Patriots.com is the tried and true method. As you know, when I'm in the host chair, I ask our regular emailers to sort of step aside and give us a phone call because, quite frankly, it's easier to have a conversation than it is to read your conversation. So give us a call at 508-298-0398 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And Andy Hart, any lingering issues or thoughts, opinions on the 49ers loss, the aftermath of it that maybe we overlooked yesterday while we were just sort of trying to convince everybody that it was the greatest thing that's ever happened to the team, and that nothing has changed as Fred Kirsch was in the pilot chair?
Well, you and I talked a little bit about this off the air, and we've been debating this, and I've talked for you, to a few people about this, whether, you know, the comeback, was it a comeback or a let-up? Was it a let-up on the 49ers' part on both sides of the ball? Did they change what they were doing offensively? Did they dial it back a little bit defensively, get a little cocky that they were banging around the supposed number one offense in the NFL and Tom Brady-led unit? Justin Smith getting hurt, you know, was that a big factor in the comeback, or was it a true comeback? Did the Patriots start making plays? And I don't know anybody that has the answer. It's probably a culmination of the two,
sure,
combination. But I think that's sort of the overriding factor right now is – You don't face anything like the 49ers until you face the 49ers again. That's the only way you'll face that again. So in terms of specifically learning from that, you know, you're not going to know until February.
Right.
And you're certainly not going to know anything the next 2 weeks when you know, this week against a, you know, preseason opponent like the Jaguars and a Dolphins team that always plays tough, but let's be honest, they are what they are, and you're closing out the season, and it could be Ryan Mallett, you know, handing off
against,
to Brandon Bolden.
Against Ryan Tannehill, you know,
two young,
quick
Ryan Mallett thing. Don't know what I read. It was from NFL.com. Forgot who it was, but it was going over, you know, the future of the quarterback carousel in the NFL and teams looking for quarterbacks and, you know, veterans that'll be available, blah, blah, blah. And second round, people saying, you know, I'd send a second-round pick to New England.
Second round.
For Ryan Mallett.
So all we've done now is we've replaced the name Brian Hoyer with the name of Ryan Mallett.
Pretty much. And even in the same paragraph, the guy also, you know, or I'd send a second-round pick to the Washington Redskins for Kirk Cousins. So, you know, that's a topic that's going to be broached. And, you know, with these games coming, Mallett could see action easily in one of these or potentially in both of them, and significant action in maybe the finale. So that's something just sort of totally side topic away from, you know, building for the postseason and all that. And another thing that's really come, you know, Burt Breer was kind of answering a lot of questions on Twitter this morning, and through that and through Greg Bedard kind of getting involved, two topics, again, away from the main goal of getting better for the postseason that I think are kind of bubbling to the forefront continues to be the Cleveland Browns job. If Mike Lombardi is indeed made the director of player personnel, I think is going to be his title there. The possibility that Josh McDaniels is the number two candidate for that job behind Nick Saban.
Right.
And if Saban's the dream candidate, who knows if he has any interest, NFL, whatever. Josh, obviously, Ohioan? Is that how you say it? One from Ohio? And would he be interested? Would he leave? You know, tying it into Belichick, is he here to be the replacement head coach when Belichick leaves at whatever point, if that's near, or Greg Bedard doesn't think it's anywhere near coming down the pipeline, that Belichick is here for the long haul, and that part of why Josh would want to go to Cleveland beyond the fact that he's also from the area. And then tied into that, someone was asking, well, if Josh left, who would be next in line? Bedard guessed Chad O'Shea, which I'm not sure I agree with. In fact, I'm kind of sure I don't agree with. As much as he may have the resume and the position coaching and some of that, I find it hard to believe that he would be the offensive coordinator or even the play caller too quickly. I certainly don't think he'd be the offensive coordinator. If he were promoted to call plays, he would go down a year or two of just calling plays as the whatever. And then tied into all that was Wes Welker. And, you know, what's his future? And what's the future of the offense if McDaniels leaves and Welker were to leave? Because Burt Breer says he thinks Welker will play for the highest bidder next year. Not necessarily he'll be back in New England, which what we've talked about with Christian Fourier saying basically it's a done deal, he's going to be back, and Scott Zolak saying pay the man, get him back. Well, you know, Burt Breer, for whatever he thinks, has heard, knows, believes he's going to play for the highest bidder next year.
Well, I wonder, you know, the Breer stuff is interesting with Welker. Does he know that the Patriots won't franchise him again?
Right.
And he's saying, therefore, highest bidder, or is he saying, if he's not franchised, then the highest bidder. I wonder, you know,
it's
how
hard
that,
to tell in 140 characters.
Yeah, no, I just think that this,
especially when some of those were the question.
Sure, and you know, some of those, you know,
I just think all these side topics are kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm
at
glad
this
you
time
threw them all out there. We did talk about some of that stuff off the air, and it does lend certainly some more, I think, relevance to right now than trying to forecast the Jacksonville Jaguars game, with all due respect.
And
to the
especially with
Jags.
Jordan Todman put on IR.
Absolutely.
I have no interest in the game
I don't
anymore.
Even know why they're going on to play the game.
Ridiculous. I just did a hit in Jacksonville. I taped a hit.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the Jaguars once. Because the guy said, you know, obviously there's no interest in this game. We'll talk about Patriots big picture type stuff. And yeah.
Well, you know, the quarterback stuff that you started with Mallett, at least I will say this. Brian Hoyer was an undrafted guy who had not played, and I thought it was ludicrous that people thought he was worthy of a second-round pick. And that, to quote Michael Lombardi, teams around the NFL should be falling all over themselves to get him as their starting quarterback. Cleveland, in particular, he called out.
And so much to say, where he, remember, he said if he got the 49ers job, he would trade for Brian Hoyer immediately.
I thought that was silly.
So maybe he'll go to Cleveland if he gets the Cleveland job.
But at least the comparisons here, I understand that Ryan Mallett hasn't played either. And that's what I initially said. So now we're just replacing Brian. But at least Ryan Mallett was a third-round pick. So you could say, yeah, he hasn't had a chance to play behind Tom Brady, but he was a third-round pick. He had that level of ability coming out of college. And, you know, second round might be high, but at least it's in the ballpark. And with
Kirk, because some people thought he had first round quote unquote talent.
Right. And with Kirk Cousins, again, unlike Hoyer and Mallett, he has some game tape now to fall back on. Now, I'm not going to get lost in one game. But again, I want to say that Cousins was a third round pick too, or a fourth round. Was he third or fourth round pick?
I believe third, but
so he was a mid round pick anyway. Again, puts you at a higher level than an undrafted guy. Before you play. Now, I'm not saying an undrafted guy can't succeed, but he hasn't played yet, so we don't know if he's going to succeed. And I think the fact that he was out of work for most of the year kind of tells you what the rest of the league was thinking. But anyway, I think some of that stuff is interesting to see. And I wonder if we'll get a chance to see an extended run of Mallett at all, particularly in the last game.
That'd be fun.
I think we will see some of
that. That would bring some interest to me.
Yeah, at least give us something to watch and evaluate. But, you know, the San Francisco game, I've been sort of surprised, Andy, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. But
okay, I'll give you my thoughts on this. What do you got, Mike?
I think that the comeback, and you brought up, was it a comeback? Was it a letdown? And it probably is somewhere in between. I think that probably initially San Francisco thought they had done enough to win the game, and then when they decided, oh, the Patriots don't think this game's over, we got to turn it back on. Well, it's hard to turn it back on, and they couldn't. And the Patriots had the momentum, and they did a great job. The reaction to the loss to me has been eye-opening around here. And I know that I'm going to probably be accused of being, impossible to please. I often complain after every loss when it's the sky is falling and everything is – it's disaster around here. Every time the Patriots lose a game, in general, the reaction to me is over the top. It's overreaction city around here. They're never going to win another game. They've lost this. They've lost that. Early in the year we lost to Seattle and we were going to be 1-4 or something. We lost to Arizona and we were going to be 1-4. I mean, just the overreaction was off the charts. This game is 180 degrees opposite that. The reaction to this loss is like they won.
Right.
This is the greatest thing ever. The comeback that they showed such resiliency and they really didn't do anything to get overwhelmed. You know, I'm reading and I know that we've made a little bit of a joke, kind of sport out of talking about some of the other writers and colleagues that we work with. The Globe's analysis today from Greg Bedard was just...
Greg Bedard. Check.
Yeah, it was just that. It was, they weren't overwhelmed. Well, I don't know what you can be to fall down 31-3. You know, when the Buffalo Bills had a 21-7 lead on the Patriots midway through the third quarter and allowed 17 touchdowns in a row, was Buffalo overwhelmed? I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
Or did they just not prepare for it or not see something? I mean, they weren't competitive over the last quarter and a half of that game. The Patriots, the first two quarters plus 5, 6, 7 minutes of the third quarter, were not competitive in their game with the Niners.
Right.
It should have been a lot worse than 31-3. If the Niners had played really well, it would have been. You know, if you don't fumble 5 snaps... it probably is a lot worse than that. You know, people fixate on the turnovers the Patriots had, and that was bad. That set up a lot of San Francisco's points, the turnovers. But San Francisco turned the ball over a couple of times, too, and they had another one when they fumble a snap on a fourth and inches, it's like a turnover. They didn't lose the ball, but they didn't get the first down because they fumbled the ball. That's a turnover. So I don't know how you can make a smiley face on falling down 31-3. Like I said, give the Patriots all the credit in the world for coming back and not quitting, and Brady being Brady is the best way to put it, because I've seen him do that a million times. Not from 28 points down, but just sort of have his will imposed on the rest of his teammates and sort of willing his team to come along with him. I've seen that act before. I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you can look so positively at that loss. I think that was sort of an extension of the losses that you've had against those good physical defenses. You talked about it all week, Andy, going into the game, that the Patriots hadn't seen a defense like this. And I think what they did was very similar to what the Giants did, only with better talent.
Right. Yeah, I still think they haven't responded to that said defense, because, as I said, I think the Niners not only dialed it back, I think they lost their most important player to an injury in Justin Smith. And I think that was a huge factor in that game. I'm in the middle. I think there's some positive to not just laying down and taking it.
Oh, I agree. I said that.
And, you know, so I'll give them credit for that, but I think they were overwhelmed physically. I think physically they were ill-prepared on both sides of the ball for what they faced. Even defensively, you're letting Randy Moss run right by you. You're letting guys split you at safety. You're giving, you know, the one of the touchdowns where it was Gore had, right, the touchdown where the entire defense just looked, you know, got pushed around. It was the easiest goal line touchdown I've ever really seen. I mean, I thought there were some serious failures to compete early in that game, and I didn't think it was effort. I think it was not ready, you know, not really understanding the chore that was at hand. I think they were trying. They were just overwhelmed. I think overwhelmed is the word I certainly would use.
That's what, yeah, that's the very definition of overwhelmed, and if you ask me.
So, but, you know, people see things differently and put different spins on it. As you said, we're usually cynical and negative, and, you know, some of these other people are usually positive, glass half full type people. And this is a game where, because of the way it played out, I think both sides can make their arguments.
Yeah, well, I would also say this, and I think I made this comment yesterday. If they had sort of mounted a comeback, and even if they, let's say they tied it 31-31 and they let up the kickoff return, and then the Niners kicked a field goal and won 34-31. That was just, let's say it was later in the game and that was it. I would feel a lot better about the loss, because I would say, well, you know, you got overwhelmed, you recovered, you got back in the game, you had one bad special teams play and you lost. What troubles me as much as anything else that happened in the game is the last 6 minutes, because you got overwhelmed again.
Right.
Once you, quote-unquote, figured it out, which is sort of the way a lot of people of rationalizing the loss, they got caught against the team that they don't see a lot. They didn't know a lot of the, you know, they're a game-plan-oriented team and they weren't familiar with San Francisco. Okay, well, once you figured it out, then they imposed their will on you again in the last 6 minutes of the game. They scored a touchdown. Then you got the ball back and got sacked on consecutive plays, then got the ball back again and went four and out deep in your own territory. So you had opportunities after you, quote-unquote, understood the way San Francisco was playing, and then they imposed their will back again. To me, I don't know how you can not look at it that way.
I don't know.
You know, how many times have we seen the Giants play the same way against us? Three times in the last 5 years, right? Same kind of games.
Well, I think if you want to make a larger scale issue, you know, I said this to you, the three physical defenses from the NFC West beat you. You got Arizona, where, you know, Dockett was owning the right side of your line, and up front they were being physical with you. Calais Campbell and those guys. You got, you know, obviously Seattle, a physical, speed-based, swarming, athletic, cocky. To me, these teams sort of have the same MO out of that NFC West, those defenses, and you're 0-3 against those. And I would say they're in the same line as the Giants defense. We're going to beat you up front, we're going to hit you, and we're going to make life tough on you. And so far, you know, you don't have a great answer for that. You came back, but I don't know that you really did, and I don't know that if you face that again from one of those, you know, Seattle. What if you face Seattle
That's
in the
key.
Super Bowl?
That's the key to my statement right there. And a lot of people look at the yards, and they get all excited because they put up a lot of yards against Seattle. They put up a lot of yards Sunday night. And you know, the Giants don't force them to go three and out every time they get the ball. They find a way to keep the points down. They find a way to bother your offense. The Niners found a way to make you have to convert fourth downs on a consistent basis the other night. That's not how you want to be playing. You don't want to be having to go 5 for 6 on fourth down to get your 34 points. But, yeah, I think the key point that I was trying to make, the reason I brought up the Giants.
You wanted to rip Greg Bedard. Oh.
No, the reason I brought up the Giants is because there's this notion after this loss, it'll be different the next time. Maybe it will be. I don't know what the next game is going to be any more than I know what the next game is going to be against the Houston Texans. I personally think the Patriots will do the same thing they did to the Houston Texans the next time.
Maybe.
Exactly. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know what the Texans learned from that experience and how they changed the way they go about things. And if, you know, Kubiak says, I'm going to play this game totally differently, I'm going to be aggressive, we're going to take it to them, we're at home, we could X, Y, Z. I don't know.
But my point being, I heard for 2 weeks going into the Super Bowl last year how different the Giants game will be than the first Giants game. And it was the same as the first Giants game.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways. Now, it wasn't the same exact game, but it was very similar in the way the Giants approached it. Sometimes there's a style that bothers you, and I think that's the style that bothers the Patriots offense. We'll see how it goes. Interested to hear what you think of the loss a couple days removed now. Do you feel any differently about it? Yesterday was overwhelmingly positive, which I thought was a good sign, a little bit borderline over the top good, but I thought it was a good sign to not overreact and say that the season is over. I know Fred was trying to paint this picture of people on the ledge, and I'm glad that you guys rallied around Andy and I, because we hadn't heard a lot of that, and Andy and I were proven correct in the emails and the calls that we got from you guys. So I'm interested to see if anybody feels any different. So give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I'll start off with some emails now in the webradio@patriots.com box here. Ross is going to lead us off today, Andy. He was listening to Belichick's interview on EEI this week, and we talked a little bit about this play yesterday. They asked him about the coverage breakdown on Crabtree's touchdown after the kickoff return and his decision to blitz in that situation. Ross personally says, I love the call, though we definitely need better personnel on the outside. I'm not picky, but how about someone who can make a tackle? In that situation, after a big momentum swing in the 49ers' favor, the crowd was deflated, and a sack would have set that house back on fire and potentially pushed San Fran out of field goal range. This team showed more heart than any of the teams I've watched since our last Super Bowl win, and I ask this, could any other team possibly have mounted that size comeback against that caliber of defense?
What?
Did you take the segment off?
Well, no, I was thinking of the earlier part of the and the blitz and the tackle.
Okay, well,
what I said yesterday.
That part first.
First and foremost, I think Kyle Arrington's a pretty good tackler. I think coverage is more his weakness than tackling. So it's a bad play. You know, I'm not going to make any excuses for the play. It's a terrible play. But I don't know that you expect him to not. You know, I would actually have felt differently if Arrington got beat for a long touchdown. You know, if he blew by him. And then I say, well, you got Kyle Arrington out there. That's what he's been doing for the last year and a half, is getting beat deep and having coverage issues. I think that's what they thought was going to happen. I think they thought that the 49ers were going to go for the kill shot there and drop back and throw a pass into the end zone.
And you blitz that,
and you expect it takes a little time for that to develop, not a short throw where a guy breaks a tackle and gets the same result. But for you defensively, if you blitz a short throw, the chances of you getting there aren't very good. If they drop back looking to put the ball in the end zone, you're going to have a chance to get there with your blitz, right?
Yeah, and I mentioned to you yesterday that perhaps that was part of what Jim Harbaugh was talking about when he was really applauding Colin Kaepernick for changing that play,
mm-hmm.
or breaking off his supposed number one read on that play. Maybe it was a shot that was supposed to take place. They saw the blitz. They went to a hot route.
Right.
And they adjusted. That could have been
exactly
what Harbaugh
was talking about.
Because
I think that's what they were thinking, is that the 49ers were going to go for the one play, momentum, touchdown, end zone, change of possession, that whole type of thing. And what was the second part?
The second part was...
Not too many offenses could have done that against the 49ers, because 49ers have a really good defense, even when they dial it back and even when they lose maybe a Justin Smith.
Tom Brady is a special
quarterback. It's a number one offense, number one defense. It's what we talked about on the pregame social. Even though it looked like we were right when we said the game's not going to be over in the first or second quarter. And even though it looked like it wasn't, because the Patriots didn't give up, and whatever happened, you had a great offense with the capability of coming back against anybody.
I agree. I thought that Tom Brady is a special quarterback.
Special.
You know, and special. Not anybody could.
Just doesn't have the fire anymore, of course.
Not anybody could come back from that kind of deficit.
No.
And Tom Brady is one of
no.
a small
had that been Philip Rivers, he would have thrown six picks in that game.
Oh, there's a lot of guys that would have done that. Can you imagine how many Brett Favre would have thrown?
I mean,
you could
Brett
be
Favre.
A great quarterback right. and still not ever be able to come back from that. You know, Peyton Manning might have been able to do it. I've seen
right.
him do it before. And Tampa Bay was every bit the defense at the time that he did it that Monday night against San Francisco when he came back from 21 down in the fourth quarter that night. But not very many guys would do that. You're right. A lot of good quarterbacks would have thrown four picks in the
right.
second half because they would have been trying, but they wouldn't have been able to do it.
Another topic I wanted to bring up. I did a little
Go
research.
Ahead, bring it up.
Obviously, one of the topics of the week beyond who's going to play is Ridley. Is he done? Is he not done? Are you reinvesting in him for a postseason run? And I went and did some research in terms of fumbles, Paul Perillo.
I'm listening.
He has a 1.55 fumble percentage.
So that's
fumbles per touches. He has 258 touches this year. He has four fumbles, two lost, for a 1.55 fumble percentage.
So 1.55% of his carries he fumbles?
Correct.
That's what that means? Okay.
I think so. Yeah, somebody will tell us if we're butchering it. Among backs with over or more than, depending on how you like to say it or properly write it, among backs with more than 200 touches, the only people with a higher fumble percentage are LeSean McCoy, who has four fumbles in 219 touches for a 1.83 fumble percentage, and Chris Johnson, who has five fumbles and 278 touches. So he actually has more touches than Ridley, but he also has an extra fumble for a 1.80 fumble percentage. Guys behind with a lower fumble percentage than Stephen Ridley. Sean Green, 261 touches, four fumbles, 1.53. Jamal Charles, four fumbles and 280 touches. Marshawn Lynch, four fumbles and 290 touches. Alfred Morris, four fumbles and 290 touches. You're seeing a lot of four fumbles for guys between 250 and 300 carries. And then the guys that are even lower, for example, Adrian Peterson has four fumbles this year in 327 touches. But you have a few guys, three fumbles for Ahmad Bradshaw in 217, three fumbles for Michael Turner in 219. You know, he's kind of in the ballpark. You know, a lot
right.
of these guys...
right.
It's a fumble either way that makes you either a fumbler or a ball secure. You know, what's his name? You know, we want to go back to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I don't know why I called him. What's his name? 285 touches this year, three fumbles, 1.05. So he's a little better, but that can change with, boom, one play, one fumble. You know, so it's one of these things where you think he has a fumbling problem, and it's an issue. I'm not saying we gloss over it, but when you look at these other numbers, he's in the ballpark with all these 250 carry backs. 250 touchbacks.
Right.
So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this is handled, and I think we all said yesterday we don't expect them to just flat out go away from Ridley and say, you know, you can't play anymore, you fumbled. But it bears watching. And it's up to him as well. I mean, it's up to him to continue to run with confidence, but take care of the damn football, not turning your back on contact and things that increase your chances of fumbling.
And I know that you and Freddie sort of went at it a little bit yesterday about this, but I do think there's a little bit of a short leash that needs to be had there, and especially as you get into January, it's a tough balance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what you try to weigh, and you and I talked about this off the air, is how much of a part of the offense do you feel like Stephen Ridley is as opposed to the Patriots' running game? Do you know what I mean? You know, does it have to be Ridley running the ball for your running game to be a complementary part of the offense, or can it be Vereen or Bolden or Woodhead? You know, does it have to be Ridley in order for you to be at peak effectiveness if you're, in fact, concerned about ball security?
Something else I wanted to touch on. Obviously, we know he's a 1,000-yard back. He is one of, I don't know how many there are, right? Like 10 right
yeah,
now?
There's in quite a few, yeah.
But he has 20... I lost him for a second. Where the hell did he go?
I don't know.
He has 29 runs of 10-plus yards,
okay,
which is a percentage of 11.5.
Okay.
Of his, you know, so one in every less, you know, more often than once in every 10 carries, he's going to pop you a 10-yard run, which is in the ballpark of guys like, you know, he's not C.J. Spiller, who's 18%.
Well, he's ridiculous.
You know, 2 out of every 10 carries, essentially. And he's not in Adrian Peterson land, 17%. But, you know, Arian Foster, 11%. Doug Martin, 12%. Marshawn Lynch, 12%. You're in that ballpark of what, you know, good, you know, 10% for Steven Jackson, 10% for Ray Rice, 12% for LeSean McCoy. I mean, he's giving you those lead back type production. You know, for example, 6.5%. Guess who that is?
Ben Jarvis Greenell.
Yes. He's giving you twice the 10-yard right. runs. You've added a dimension to your offense.
Absolutely.
And the numbers bear it out. It wasn't just a theoretical, well, Ridley will pop more runs. It's bared out in the numbers. You're getting double the production of a guy like Ben Jarvis Greenell, who has 1,000 yards. He's another 1,000-yard back, but with significantly more carries. And in the same ballpark fumble-wise, he's a little more secure. So just trying to put some numbers with the whole discussion yep. of Stephen Ridley's role with this offense.
And getting back to my point about how good you think he is and how important you think he is, I'm wondering, a lot of the guys that you mentioned, how much, if any, do they provide more of a big play option? In other words, that 11% of 10 yards or more, how many of those percent for the Chris Johnsons and the Arian Fosters or the Doug Martins of the world, you know, are 50?
Oh, yeah. Chris Johnson, by the way.
As opposed to 10 plus, you know.
11.1 for Chris Johnson. So he's actually a less 10-yard runs than Ben Jarvis Green.
Right, but
Ridley.
when he gets the 11%, how many of those are going for, like, Monday night for 94?
I think I have that in here somewhere, too.
Because he has around the same amount of yards as Ridley, right?
Chris Johnson has 1159 and Ridley has 1105. Johnson's averaging 4.8 a carry. Ridley's averaging 4.4 a carry. Ridley's longest run is 41 yards. Johnson's is obviously 94 yards from the other night. Ridley has 10 touchdowns. Johnson has 5.
I'm going to use your vernacular. You know how you always tell me there's a difference between a 10-sack guy and a guy who had 10 sacks. Is there a difference between Stephen Ridley being a guy who gets 10-plus yard runs and a big play runner?
Well, yeah. But
you know
I think they're two totally different beasts.
Right. Right.
And I'd rather have I personally would rather have the 10-yard guy than the guy that is going to less often break.
But they have the same amount. They have the same amount.
No, I know.
Chris Johnson and Stephen Ridley have the same amount of 10-yard
right.
plus runs.
Yeah, they're in the same.
But Chris Johnson's, I think, probably the 11% of his runs probably go for a lot more yards than Ridley's 11%.
Yeah.
Same amount of runs of 10 yards or more.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I can get you the 20 plus. I don't have that on here. Because his yards per carry isn't that dramatically higher for a guy who has at least one 94-yard run.
It's almost a half a yard.
Yeah, I don't think 4/10 of a carry is. I mean, 4/10 of a yard is all that big.
It's not.
I'd have to look.
It seems like a lot to me.
I don't think it is.
And
I think you'd be
you
surprised.
When you consider that he's playing on a team that's basically all they have, and the other
well,
guys,
yeah, that's certainly an aspect. If you want to tell me, you know, the offense, that's a huge difference.
And
that
I think,
is a
and I think
Chris Johnson would be a far better back on this team.
And I think Chris Johnson
anybody
is
would be a
you know,
far
I don't think
better
Chris
back.
Johnson is special.
Right. Yeah, that's a much bigger aspect of the debate would be within the offense. Chris Johnson is all they have.
All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We have a couple of guys holding on. We're going to lead off with the governor in California, Jerry. Jerry, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. I don't have a lot of comments about the 49ers game. I think that some of our players didn't play up to their potential, and maybe that's a one-game thing, and the rest of the playoff season will be fine. I do have a comment about the results of that also. And what I'm saying is that it looks like we're going to get the number third seed and probably –
right.
Go to Denver, and I'm not concerned about playing Manning, and I'm not concerned about the Broncos, but I am concerned about playing at Denver because I happen to feel playing at that mile-high altitude does affect the way any team plays there, not only just the Patriots.
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue that everybody...
I'll give you a little background. 35 years ago, I was running full marathons, not being the winner, but somewhere in the middle of the pack or back of the pack or whatever, but that's the central coast of California. I go to Denver for 5 days of schooling, and every morning I get up and I run a 6-mile training run, and about the third or fourth day, it finally dawned on me, it's not just the hangover, it's the altitude, because I was having problems running my 6 miles like I normally do just because of the altitude. I think it really bothers people, and for the Patriots, If you come in there expecting to run your hurry-up offense and tire out the other team, guess what? It's the Patriots that's going to get tired.
And at the same time, you might see the Broncos try to do that
oh, yeah.
a little bit with tempo, and because they run a no-huddle offense periodically as well. So it's a good point.
It would certainly make sense for them to do it. Manning can certainly do it. And you get those guys out there running full speed, it catches up with
them. And the defense practices there against Manning's no-huddle offense.
Correct.
So the defense that you're trying to gas is less susceptible to being gassed than your own offense is because they practiced in it against Manning's no-huddle every day.
Yeah, and when I say this advantage, it's not like in New England it gets cold, but in New England the players don't grow extra efficient fat cells to take care of the cold or whatever, but it's different with altitude.
Mm-hmm.
With altitude, your lungs, if you live there and practice there, your lungs actually get more efficient, and they're actually different than the lungs of a player that doesn't live there.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point, Jerry. Even if you get by that game, I think it takes you a little extra out of you moving forward and then having to go play indoors potentially in Houston.
That's why players take Viagra in Denver. That's among the reasons.
Okay, guys, that was my only comment.
I like it.
Thanks, Jerry. It's an interesting point, and it's just like when Fred kept using the word fear yesterday. Well, I don't fear them. I don't fear them. You know, I don't either. I don't fear these teams. I don't fear the Patriots if I'm another team. But I would rather play the Patriots coming off a bye at home than coming off a game on the road. I really think that's just sort of factual.
Well, my biggest thing is just the four games. I don't fear
Absolutely.
The Patriots in any game against anyone.
No.
I fear them in four games against four good teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest issue.
So I can sit there and I can tell you with certainty that like Fred says, I think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. Well, I happen to agree with them. I think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC, too. But
two of those teams don't have to play as many games.
I feel less strongly about my feeling of them getting through the AFC today than I did Sunday afternoon.
It's like I still have them as the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I just won't be shocked if they don't win the Super Bowl. And I don't know if that makes absolutely no sense, but I think if you made me pick a team, I would pick them.
And I got.
But taking the field would be a strong option for me because they have to play an extra game.
Yeah, and I got made fun of yesterday because you guys
fat.
Were trying to pin me
because
down.
Because
like,
you were watching Northeastern basketball during the show?
Would you favor them, you know, against, you know, in that game, that divisional round? Who would you take, them or Denver? And I said, I don't know because I don't know what happened in the previous game yet.
I went with Fred's. You had a normal win, and you're completely healthy. You didn't get
anybody hurt. I don't
think,
when I say the Patriots are the best team in the AFC, I think Fred thinks it's like Houston is about 7, Denver is about 9, and then you got Pittsburgh and Baltimore down at like 13. There is no 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I don't think of it that way. I think of it almost as the Patriots are 1, Houston's probably 2, Denver's like 2A. Like, I think it's close.
I agree.
So when you change the venue to me, I might change who I'm favoring in the game, depending on how we look going into that game. Fred can easily just make a blanket statement and say, well, right, wrong, or indifferent, home, away, whatever, Sunday night, Saturday afternoon, I'm taking the Patriots. I don't look at it that way. I don't think the Patriots are, quote-unquote, that much better than the rest of the AFC. You know, he clearly thinks they are. We'll see. I don't think that you just blindly take the Patriots against the field.
Oh God, no.
The way Fred does.
Well, Fred sees things a little differently than most.
Let's see what Ken in North Carolina thinks. Ken, how are you doing?
Kenny.
Ken, how are you guys doing?
Great.
I'm doing great. Sorry I made you wait so long.
No, that's okay. I had to jump off and get another phone. That happens when you work, you know, guys.
I wouldn't know. We've never worked a day in our lives.
You know, as far as are you jumping off the ledge? No. Was I disappointed? Yes. I mean, up until I almost turned the TV off when it got to be 31-3, and I never do that. And I get up at 5:00 in the morning, and I knew it was going to be a late game. But you know what? I had to watch the end. And I was pleased on the comeback. And, yes, I agree. I think that San Francisco kind of let down a little bit, and we took advantage of that. and got momentum, which is a good thing. But I think we were just ill-prepared for that game, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
We saw nothing in that first 35 minutes that showed me that we were the New England Patriots. It showed me we were an average team. And nobody likes to see that, but it is what it is, and there's nothing you can do.
Well, you can improve because of it.
Yes, exactly.
But
and one other thing that you were talking about, Ridley. They had a slow-mo of one of his fumbles. And something I noticed, the way he carried that ball, wasn't high and tight with two fingers over the nub of the ball. It was low, and he was carrying it like it was a pound of hamburger.
I agree with you. I haven't seen, you know, we talked about this obviously going all the way back to the summer because of last year, and people kept saying, even Ivan Fear said, yeah, high and tight is one thing we need to work. I haven't seen him really emphasize ball security and high and tight at all this year.
I've seen him on several games. Yes, he was, and he didn't fumble. Now, I mean, you can fumble anytime, anywhere.
Yep.
But the what I saw on that one slow-mo on TV was that he had that ball low, and he didn't have those two fingers around the nub of the ball. And I'm more of a defensive guy. I don't know that much about offense, but one thing I know that everybody was stressed. If you get that ball, you put both fingers over the nub and you carry it up in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
had it down low.
And that was one thing, Ken, that was really, really stuck out to me watching San Francisco play, not having a chance to see them every week. They had more times where a guy would come in and secure a tackle, and you'd see two guys immediately going for that football.
Yes.
And they were absolutely stripping away. And you know that, first of all, that's the way they play. They're an aggressive, physical defense that's looking to force turnovers. But you also know that they know that there's a guy on the other side in Ridley. And even I would say Aaron Hernandez is very loose with the football.
Yes, he is.
And even though he doesn't have a ton of fumbles to show for it.
No, but that little flip-up.
Yeah, I think he...
alligator arms.
Yeah, I think he carries the football a little bit loosely.
Yeah.
And you know that San Francisco sees these things on film just the same way the Patriots do.
Yeah.
And the Patriots have done a great job of forcing a ton of fumbles this year, and I don't think that's coincidence. I think that's good defense.
Yeah, I agree. And our defense wasn't there.
Yeah, that to me, and we talked about that yesterday, Ken, and thanks for the call. But that was one of the things that really stuck out to me with when Fred talked about offensively, they turned the ball over, and that was really damaging to the game, to the individual game. But the most disappointing element of the game was the defense letting guys get behind them, not being able to come up with the amount of plays that they had in the past. So, yeah. That was very disappointing, I thought, defensively. I thought they took a little bit of a step back. Not a big deal. It's one game. But, you know, the big plays that have sort of that we saw so much in the first 10 weeks had sort of disappeared for a month, and they were back in full force, I thought, in this one.
Just a quick update on the McDaniels thing earlier. I hadn't seen this. I'm not sure how new this is, but NFL.com just retweeted it. That a source told the Plain Dealer that Josh McDaniels would, quote, jump at the chance to coach the Browns.
Huh.
So, for those that think he may be coaching waiting here, hanging around, whatever
and
it may
you
be.
Said you saw something that's completely out of the question.
What?
McDaniels. Wasn't that part of, or am I confusing one of our check marks with a bad check? Bad check there? All right, we'll move on. Let me get to an email here from Ed. Who says he can only speak for himself, but I saw this game as typical of what we have seen year after year since 2007. We are not going to win another Super Bowl with this secondary. Our defense cannot stop good teams. Unless Brady can score 40-plus points, the Patriots are going to lose in the playoffs. The Patriots have been lucky because of the poor play that has plagued the NFL in recent years, but the defense, specifically the secondary, is not going to stop playoff teams, even with a rookie quarterback. The Ravens handed the Patriots the AFC Championship game last year with their drop pass in the end zone and then the shanked field goal. We will have a deep run in the playoffs, but I don't see a Super Bowl championship this year. That's Ed.
I think there's some truth to that. Counting on other teams to make mistakes and counting on, you know, being able to score a lot of points, that's harder to do in the postseason. Mistakes are less plentiful generally, and, you know, the teams are more balanced. Teams are better. You're not going to necessarily roll out of bed and score 40 points against Houston or Denver or, you know, some of the, you know, I'd put Cincinnati and Pittsburgh in there if you have to face them. I think there's a lot of truth to that statement. Still, I've seen these Patriots win enough games, overwhelm enough defenses, overwhelm enough teams so that they're forced into trying to come back, that there's still strong possibility you can do what you did last year, because mistakes still happen. Both teams will make mistakes in the AFC title game, whoever they are.
Right.
Both teams are going to make mistakes. They might not be right at the end like Lee Evans and then a missed field, but they're going to make mistakes that can change a game. And when the games are tighter, those mistakes can swing a game in either direction.
And you're going to have to be able to score that. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, the Patriots are going to have to score 40-plus points. But some of these teams, like Cincinnati, you know, I think their defense is pretty good. It's pretty physical. Mm-hmm. And there's a chance that the Patriots are closer to 28 than 38.
Right.
Can Cincinnati score 28? You know, it's not about 40.
Right.
You know, there's some of these offenses. Now, in full defense, I would have said the Niners, if they gave up 34 the way they did the other night, would not be able to win, because I didn't see the Niners being able to score in the high 30s and into the 40s the way they did. But I'm not sure that all the teams are equipped to put that kind of point.
But plays change that. You know, if Brandon Tate takes a kickback for a touchdown for the Bengals, that's huge. Now, all of a sudden, you get that and an AJ Green deep ball, and then you maybe earn a, you know, put a long drive together for a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis touchdown or a defensive score. You know, you find ways to get there. It's not always about what the Patriots do, where you're going to go six plays, 80 yards, and put a touchdown on the board with a touchdown pass. There's a lot of ways to score on a football field.
All right, enough of us talking, because we're not football experts. We didn't play at a high level like Melvin in Tennessee did.
Vol call.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
What's up, Melvin?
Not much. I remember asking you last week, talking about the Ridley fumbling issue, and I know, of course, this week he fumbled, but it was the helmet on the ball, so I know you consider it kind of a foot fumble last week. I feel better about when we talked about last week, but now I kind of scratch my head, because I feel like that was, I feel like it was, I guess, this fumble, I knew the ball would probably come out, but still bonehead play to me, because I've seen Golston play like that all the time, and he always leads in with the helmet and tries to get the ball out there, just like you all just previously talked about holding the guy up and stripping the ball. I've seen them play. I know that's coming. So, I don't know. I just want to see your take on that, as far as was that a, you know, was, you said no fumble was a good fumble, which I agree with that, but do you think that's a good play, so to speak? Or
yeah, no, I do. I do, and I made the comment that, obviously no fumble is a good fumble, but I understand what your point is. On that run, I think it was Whitner put the helmet right on the ball, and sometimes, I'm not saying it's unavoidable, but sometimes the defense just makes a good play and you lose the ball. But that's not all of Ridley's fumbles, and Andy talks a lot about turning the back and whatnot. The play that he was down before the ball came out, and he was clearly down. It was not a fumble. But how does he lose the ball in that play? And I watched the replay of that a couple of times last night. He doesn't even get hit on the ball. Like, he lands on the ground, and the ball pops out. It's like he – I don't know if he's got the proper pressure points going, you know, that Andy always talks about, and other people have talked about with the high and tight and whatnot. I just think that he has a hard time periodically holding on to the football. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you can rely on him. I don't know if you can rely on him. And Andy's right when he says you've sort of made an investment in him, you know, and in the running game in general, to walk away at this point. I don't know. I think it might be too late to walk away.
All right. And, I mean, I could say Dan Whitehead would be an option, but, I mean, he had the ball poked from him last week, too. And
yep.
So that was a question mark for him as well. I mean, you can't I don't want you to go to these tougher defenses and you fumble every time. And it you can't go into the playoffs with that type of ball security as an issue, especially because, I mean, even if so, if we do get this number three seed, if Pittsburgh's first, goodness gracious, and then have to go to Denver, and then the Texans, and then, you know, one fumble and dead, you're out. You can be out in a game easily.
And all those teams are physical and are going to put some pressure on you in terms of holding on to the football and ball security. And you're right. Don't pretend the Patriots didn't know it was coming the last 2 weeks with these types of defenses they were going to face that are physical, turnover defenses, swarming to the football, athletes, all that. So they knew it was coming. They were preached about it. Ivan Fears was definitely preaching it, I know for a fact.
Right. And I don't know if two hands were on the ball. Those are basics, you know? I mean, so I don't know. This is back in the day. If Mayo's coming to me and I'm getting my 6 yards, I'm going to take the contact, put two hands on the ball, and I'm getting down. I mean, it's not being, you know, you're not scared or nothing like that, but you also have to play smart at times. Once you get your yards, cover up the football, get down. I mean, it's not worth standing up there. You're not gaining any yards and letting them come strip you or getting
right.
beat up for no reason.
We don't want running backs looking for long runs. We want ones that just take the 4 yards out of there. Why can't we get guys like Benny on this team?
you have to play smarter than times, you know. Smarter than times.
Live to fight another day. Live to fight another day.
Live to fight another day. I agree. Okay, well, I'm going to continue with some sugar.
All right, Melvin.
I'll talk to you later.
See you, Doss.
No,
Eric, fresh off the practice field with big news about an absentee here in Foxborough.
Do we have big news?
Tom Brady.
Tom?
Not seen.
Were you talking to Jeff Howe?
Not seen.
Tom's not there?
No.
Arguably, you lost your two guys right in the middle of the field. Your starting quarterback and your starting middle linebacker.
Yeah, well, it's true. The most recent game, he was your starting middle linebacker. Mikey Rivera.
Bombo.
Bombo. Gumbo.
Yeah, Brady and Rivera, the only two there.
People speculating it's a late season, you know, veteran day off for the quarterback who threw 65 throws the other night.
Possible.
He did say, by the way.
And also got popped a little bit.
He admitted that he was sore.
Yeah,
you'd be sore too.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of surprised that he said it, though. Because I thought it was going to be one of those, well, you know, at this time of year, everybody's dealing with bumps and bruises and blah, 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 blah.
Well, I think he kind of did.
He said he was sore.
But he said, you know, everybody else
not
was,
to channel
too.
My inner Pac-Man Jones, but yeah, you know, he did. He said he was sore.
Yeah. He said he was sore, too. Yeah.
Watch out for the Jags and the upset.
Pac-Man, no chance.
Well, Bill made him out to be the Super Bowl contender
he
today.
He does that.
My God. My favorite line was something like, his last one of his monologue was something like, it's going to be difficult for us to accomplish anything down there.
Well, factually, that's true, because when they win the game, it's really not going to change all that much.
I might ask Brady after the game. So how did you guys manage to put up 59 points and get anything done against this team today?
You were actually taken out of the game in the second quarter with a 59-point
lead.
That'll
never happen. That'll never happen.
So any other...
You never know. The worst way to lose a game, Andy, as you know, is to take
a
quarterback out and have a kick blocked when you're up by 59.
Just so you know, I would have rather have had a kick block Sunday night than turn the ball over 4 times and give up 3 one-play touchdown drives. Those were better ways to lose a game to me. Any other witticisms?
You know what the best way to lose a game is?
What do we got here?
To not have Tom Brady start it.
That's yours.
That's your mug. It's orange.
From who? Oh, is this from the pregame social?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, why
nice.
Do I keep forgetting? Edwin? No.
Edwin.
What's his name?
Kevin.
What?
Nelson.
Nelson. Sorry, Nelson. I apologize. I really do appreciate it. I just keep forgetting your name.
He got us them?
Yeah, Nelson. You know,
cool.
He came last time, brought some shirts. He's a Dunkin' Donuts guy, true and true.
I thought maybe Dunkin' Donuts as the sponsor of the pregame social.
No, they just send free donuts.
Gifts. Yeah, they send
this
a
is
nice...
from our pal Nelson.
Oh, Nelson, thank you very much.
They
in New Hampshire.
Spread.
New Hampshire. So, yeah, there you go for practice.
All right, so that was Brady and Rivera.
Everybody else was there, including
accounted for.
Rob Gronkowski.
How do you look? What do you have in his arm?
Oh, Andy, that was East Boston High School. That's why the Herald... .com
Paul, you want to explain that?
There.
We're doing radio.
The Sports Nation play of the day is a full court shot by East Boston High School.
East
where
Boston.
Wiggy went?
Yes.
Wiggy's alma mater?
I covered Wiggy in playing basketball at East Boston High School back in the day.
That was
back
fat
in the Herald
fat.
Days?
No.
Oh, you meant as a writer.
No, it was not fat on fat.
He was skinny back then?
So was
Does
I.
he play in the men's league, though, no?
No. Wiggy?
Your adult basketball league.
It's exclusive to
it is.
You know, elite athletes.
And Paul.
And me. Before I get ready to go to a break here, I'm going to read Tyler in Georgia because I was sort of intrigued by his subject line, which was sad to see the potential end of the Sanchez era. Something tells me this is dripping with sarcasm.
And so you won't get it.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe he's sad because he wants them to do badly.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. It's not looking good for our favorite Jets QB. Some even saying this could be the end of his tenure in New York as Patriots fans everywhere begin to mourn his ability to throw away divisional games, except for the ones he didn't. But like a true fan, I'm ignoring those. I wanted to share this video I put together after the Thanksgiving game so we can forever remember what could have been Mark Sanchez's last game as against the Patriots as a Jet. It's a YouTube clip that we'll have to take a look at.
And I'm guessing it involves a bumble.
I'm
just throwing that out there, shot in the dark.
Probably could guarantee that. Probably.
And don't they have a massive cap hit if they cut him?
8.5, I want to say. They guaranteed his salary for next year. So
that's a lot of dead money.
So they're in a tight spot as far as letting him go.
I don't know if they'll be able to. I think they'll probably try to trade him and have a hard time doing that, obviously.
Yeah.
But that it would be a big cap hit. But what are they going to? I mean,
is this the last year on his? Or would this be the last year coming up?
They can get out from under the deal after this year. But they signed him to an extension that he's never going to see. I don't know what they do, though. I mean, I don't know what coming out, what you...
And Tebow's asking for a trade.
What you'd really feel good about.
So they'll just have McElroy.
G-Mac, as they say.
And the good news about him, I remember my scouting report on him was he's a good game manager who can take advantage of his own weapons and allow them to make plays. And since he has so many weapons...
Yeah, it's a total...
Debacle?
Total debacle. I just, the whole thing, like you go out and you get Tebow because you want to put some light of fire under Sanchez. And then you give Sanchez an extension because you want to give confidence.
Right. You don't want him to be concerned he's going to lose his job. Wait a minute.
That's the kind of stuff. Like, people make fun of the Jets for a lot of the different things that they do, and I don't think all of them are accurate. But that particular situation with the quarterback was bungled as badly as you could screw up a decision. Not only they picked the wrong guy, but they've gone about every single thing along the way in an incorrect manner. Because I don't think the Jets are that bad, but they are just in utter disarray.
Are they going to be a completely different team, though, next year?
I don't see how Sanchez can be the quarterback next year.
Head coach?
There's a good chance that he's not back, too, but I think that would be a good thing for Patriots fans because I think he can coach. I don't think he's a terrible coach. Now, he needs to get more actively involved on offense. He can't just say, I'm a defensive coordinator and be the head coach. You got to be like Bill.
Or hire somebody who can coach offense.
You got to have a hand in everything. But even then, I don't like these guys that just wash their hands at the other side of the ball. I'm not saying you got to be like Bill and be intimately involved in every single aspect. Bill's special, like we talk about with Brady. But like he's just completely indifferent toward offense. And you wonder why they've never had an offense. Well, maybe if you put a little bit of emphasis on it, maybe you could help.
Yeah, it's hard to have an offense without a quarterback, though.
Yeah, that's true. Well, how many times have we argued about that?
Just got to have a quarterback. Most important position in all of sports, having a quarterback.
You cannot overcome the inability to have to play offense without a quarterback. Kevin, any word from Fred? Because I've been in the host chair longer than I was anticipating.
Any word from Fred?
That's
radio
not good.
Silence.
That's not good. Let's reset, as they say. We'll take a quick break at the halfway point. We'll be back with more emails after this.
Ah, that is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Contractors, having trouble getting a construction bond? Did you miss the chance to bid a job because your agent didn't support you? Give me a call. My name is Brent Cross. I want to be your bond agent. Call 800-999-7345. That's 800-999-7345. Online at crossagency.com. Cross Insurance is one of New England's largest providers of construction bonds. Don't miss out on any more work. Cross Insurance, the official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Well, I'm going to remember to keep my mic turned on, even though you guys probably wish I didn't. Eric Scalavino is with us for the second hour, second and final hour of PFW in Progress. Still no sign of Fab Five
Freddy.
Nothing,
huh? Are we concerned?
He's off-site. He's off-site. I don't know what he's doing. But it's unfortunate because, as you guys know, there's nothing I hate worse.
Is he doomsday prepping?
Than hosting.
Could be. I bet you he has one of those panic rooms.
He's building an ark? Like those guys in China?
Could you get an extra generator?
No. I don't think that's going to matter.
No?
If they're right, I don't think it's going to matter.
If the world ends,
no.
It's not going to matter?
No.
Okay. Good tip.
I'm one of the, I don't want to be, if the world is worse off after this, you know, the end of the world as we know.
Don't want to be around for it?
Don't want to be around for it. Nope. No thanks. If it's improvement,
what
sure.
What if it's you and the last woman on the planet?
Come on.
It depends on who she is. I mean, you know, I do have standards.
Really?
Oh, you have standards?
Really? Has that been the problem? Has she been turning a lot down?
Yeah, no.
Andy?
What?
What's the motto?
Lower your standards. Raise your average.
Not worried about the average, my friend.
Yeah, because 0.00.
0.0.
You don't have to be mean.
Really that was a little mean.
But the truth is never mean.
It is.
In this case, it was a little mean.
It is. That's why you have an HL rule.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
Oh yeah. Okay. Slow on the uptake.
Okay. No problem.
Slow on the uptake. So we're talking aftermath of the Niners and what it means going forward. We got the practice update from Eric.
Don't worry, Brady's just not practicing.
Tom Brady not available. Panic.
I mean, I know I'm not taking the Jags seriously, but we're not even going to make Brady play.
Discuss. So I'm interested in your thoughts. We have a bunch of emails here, so I'm going to read a couple of them.
Okay, Fred.
Let's see. Tim says, this is something we were talking about
yesterday.
Does
it have the word ITs in it?
I haven't misread an email yet.
That's his best ever.
Yet.
ITs.
With all these people wishing Jeff Demps wasn't on IR, I put in Madden, I put him on kickoffs. And I just thought it was important to let you know I just took the kickoff to the house against the Cowboys.
Wow.
Serious question, though. We all know Josh loves his trick plays. I'd love to see a wishbone formation on 3rd and 1,
nice.
3rd and 2, with any combination of Ridley, Vereen, and Bolden. I was originally thinking Bolden and Vereen. Your thoughts?
You want to make sure that they're not... I mean, you're not concerned about the fumble-itis issue that's cropped up again?
Yeah, we've been talking about the fumbles a little bit. Andy has done extensive fumble research.
I'd like to have Bolden as my fullback, and I'd have Ridley as my left halfback, and probably Vereen as my right, and I'd probably run the option to the left, so my pitch man is Vereen, and I'd probably tell Tom Brady to get rid of the ball quickly so he doesn't get his head knocked off. We don't really have an option quarterback, huh? Edelman's on IR.
Edelman would be, yeah.
But he's on IR.
Yeah,
yeah. No, we don't. I was trying to think of somebody with some kind of versatility. And
Woodhead?
What about Deion Branch?
Small hand. Deion? Deion, long time ago, was a quarterback.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he really doesn't read your stuff.
I mean, getting to know.
Yeah.
I mean, Pee-wee as like
a long time ago.
I remember now. Like, I was thinking, like, you know, some background in college. Yeah, no, I remember reading your getting to know.
Chung?
Yeah, I don't think it...
That didn't work out.
I don't think his take of snaps really works well. Travis, Travis is from...
I thought of him.
Possible?
Jacksonville.
Who?
Travis is from Jacksonville.
Henry?
He's very excited because he's going to get a chance to see his first Patriots game in almost 5 years.
Congratulations.
Nice.
He has a buddy on the Patriots practice squad.
His name is...
Who dat? Hold on. Let's try to guess.
No,
I'd have to know who's on the practice.
Colin Miller?
You could have a chance.
Colin Miller?
You have no chance.
No?
Not Colin Miller. I did not know Colin Miller was on the practice squad.
Tony Logan?
No.
Jeff Tarpinian?
No. Why don't I just tell you the guy? Kamar Aiken.
Come on, man.
Oh.
He graduated with...
He's Aiken to get on the active roster.
He graduated with Kamar from Chaminade Madonna in 2007. in Hollywood, Florida. If you see him, say Travis Frensley says hi.
Okay.
And I wish him the best of luck. Second,
somebody would have to tell me.
I know. Hey, that's that guy.
Kamara's being overlooked at the wide receiver position.
Yes,
his
he
size
is.
And knowledge of the game is impressive, and he was a standout at UCF as a freshman. When the time comes looking to buy you, when the kind. The time comes, he's looking to buy you guys drinks when you come on down. So,
wait a minute, I need a little more to this story. Why was he a standout as a freshman? What happened?
I don't know.
And what happened with sophomore, junior, and senior?
Right, that's what I mean.
I don't know. I don't know.
Kind of reminds me of the what's his name? Hollywood Holly story.
Hollywood Holly.
He was thought he was the man, but he wasn't the man.
Yeah, just some funny thing happened on the way to being the man. He wasn't the man anymore. Caverin setting up. He's in Gainesville, as you guys know,
which is also. Jacksonville area.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is also
why I'm reading his email here because it has
you're sticking
tailgate.
To everybody in the Jacksonville area this
tailgate. Well, no, he has tailgate information. I want to pass along a public service.
Is that Bud Light Plaza thing or whatever where you can sit and watch the game there?
Don't know.
Paul would only care if it was the Miller Light Plaza.
Or if I were going to be there, then I would care.
It's true. Could stay on the cruise
ship. How far
ships.
Is Gainesville from Jacksonville?
Short drive.
I wanted to pass along some tailgate information for Sunday in Jacksonville. A group of us will be meeting up at the Tailgate Bar and Grill.
Nice. Perfect.
That's a very imaginative
perfect.
Name. Prior to the game, bar opens at 9.
You'll call us
that's
at
my kind of bar.
10:30.
And they do offer parking
Send
for
photo.
The game at $35 per spot, which opens at 8:30 a.m. Sounds like a large group of Pats fans will be coming down per a Mike Reese article yesterday. So we should have a great showing again here in Florida. The bar is adjacent to the stadium website, tailgatebarandgrill.com. Now to my question, who do you think will start at running back this Sunday and to wrap up the season? Personally, I think
Ridley.
We'll need the running game to be a complementary part, which may mean getting Ridley back going and not benching him, which has been the norm. Andy, you've pointed out him turning his back to the line upon and after contact. Has anyone ever asked him why he does this?
He doesn't know. He's done it since high school. He's
sort of an instinctive thing. He doesn't even realize he's doing it.
Yes, he doesn't. Sometimes he'll watch film and he'll be like, I didn't even know I did that.
He says, if I remember correctly, the strip against Houston was caused because he turned his back, giving himself up, which led to the strip.
Yes.
You are correct. That is what happened in the Houston game.
And the fumbling issue might not be as big an issue if he didn't have consecutive games. It might be seen as more of a blip.
It is kind of ironic, well, maybe coincidental is probably better, that
easy, Alanis.
He is having the problem again at the same time of year.
Well, maybe it's a mental thing.
Well, that's
the games are getting important. Ball, hot potato.
I just want to point that out, that's all.
It is. It's worth pointing out.
Especially after the year he's had. He's
great
done
year.
Well. He's,
I had put the fumbling issues to bed. I had deemed them no longer an issue. Now they're an issue.
They're an issue. So they're not an issue.
Kind of like
an
Eric.
Issue again.
Close the door on the season until
not
the season's
issue.
Door wasn't closed.
Until it's an issue. Yeah, is the season over?
No.
I'm confused as to which losses mean the end of the season.
My prediction is still...
he's a Mayan over there. not sure what ends.
My preseason prediction was AFC Championship. It was in the paper. AFC Championship, New England at Houston. And that's where it ended for New England. I'm sticking with my prediction.
Okay. Good to know. I don't remember what my preseason prediction was, although I did say 12-4. I just don't remember where I had them in the playoffs.
I may have had Houston over New England. I'm not really sure either. Green Bay.
I'm going to go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline because people are waiting patiently. Starting with our favorite drug-addled fan, Alvin in Texas.
The Cocaine Cowboy.
By the way, hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, by the way.
Hey,
hi.
Hi.
Aren't I supposed
Alvin,
to say something
look
to you?
Look at the colors.
Preamble the J.
Oh, yeah, you are right.
Preamble
Eric
the J.
Eric was right.
Eric was right.
Oh, preamble the J. But I got to admit, Eric was right. You know, I had an argument with Eric a long time, like a couple weeks ago.
Eric is looking as if he is not
aware
of this argument.
What was the argument and what was he right about? Certainly not how to get a woman.
Oh, for God.
No, he was right about the defense and something about it. And I was trying to, make a topic about it. But anyways, the reason I'm just calling is just
And then I got high.
How come Bolden's not playing? How come he's not getting time? Is he still hurt or
He was suspended.
He was back out there for the for special teams.
And he is not listed with an injury.
No.
Yeah, he got a couple of carries against Houston late, and then he was took a full part in special teams. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's injury related in any way.
There's one. I got a comment from this guy named Joseph on Facebook from Cali.
Sure.
He meant from California. He mentioned
that
the last four games that we lost, 100 yards that we haven't got in the offense.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So can Bill fix that, or is still going to be a problem in the playoffs?
Now, do you think there's a direct link? Do you think had they gotten over 100 yards, they would have won that football game?
Probably.
I don't.
No, I don't think so.
Matter of fact, I think if they had gotten over 100 yards rushing, they probably would have scored fewer points.
Right.
No, it's because that was the main thing. And how about what's happening with Alfonso Dinner, number 37?
He's banged up for the second week in a row, couldn't finish the game. Hammy and then knee.
But Eric provides some good news on that regard. He was out at practice just moments ago during the portion that the media was allowed to watch. So he was out there with the rest of his teammates. Only Tom Brady, so nothing to worry about. And Mike Rivera were not there.
By the way, Paul, what time are you going to be in the Sports Hub? Because I'm looking forward to hearing you on the Sports Hub. You actually bring more good topics than compared to those two bums that they're annoying.
Couldn't agree with you more. That'll be at 4 o'clock. 4 to 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. Thanks. Did you call into the Sports Hub this week?
Yeah.
I thought I recognized your drug-crazed voice.
Got pissed off. I don't understand why he got all pissed off anyways.
Yeah. Maybe he couldn't understand you.
Yeah, you know what? Not all radio talk show hosts are as accommodating as Eric, Andy, and I.
No, Mike Felger's the least accommodating douchebag on the earth.
No, and then here's one thing that Mike, Matt, and Felger, they were saying that we should lay down. I don't think we should lay down. You know why? Because if we win the next two games, the Broncos are still going to try to play. They're not going to leave their starters out because we're still going to be on top of their tails.
Yeah, New England, it may be a little remote at this point, but they still have a chance at the number one seed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then here's one part about Houston.
They got to play.
Still has to win.
There's lots
game.
Of land in Montana you can buy for a buck, but there's no road
and
that
then
gets
the,
there.
And then the running back, just say Peterson. I mean, he's still close to the MVP, isn't he?
See.
Mm-hmm. Adrian Peterson is absolutely in the MVP race.
I think he needs the record to get the MVP.
What if about two wins? I mean, if he doesn't get the record, but they go 10-6 and make the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't.
I think Minnesota's going to beat the Texans because of the running game. They have a good, solid running game.
Yeah, correct.
The Texans have a good, solid run defense.
This is a great year for the MVP debate.
Oh, yeah.
With Brady,
even
Manning,
better year for the Comeback Peterson. Player of the Year award. Well, I think that is going to be the most hotly contested award ever.
No, I don't. You know why?
You know
they're
going
to give it to both of them. They're going to tie.
Hey, they better not.
They're going to
you know
cop
what?
Out.
About Brady, about that game, he actually was more like he did pass one touchdown. But at the end, he was running. They were running the ball, and Brady was unselfish. That's what I liked about that game.
Yep.
Even though we lost, he was unselfish.
Okay. Thanks, Alvin.
Okay. Thanks, guys. You take care.
Enjoy the valley.
Not sure I got that one. Unselfish. They threw the ball 65 times. 68 if you count the sacks.
McDaniel told him to throw the ball.
No, I just didn't get the unselfish part.
I don't know, Paul.
Let's stick. South of the border, and we'll go to Victor in Ecuador. Victor,
hey guys,
how are you?
What's up?
Hey guys, how are you?
Great.
Hey, first of all, it's such a bummer that Fred's not there today.
I couldn't agree more.
I have a weird dream that I had last night that I wanted to share with you guys.
Did it involve a unit someplace where it's not supposed to be?
No. I don't have that kind of dreams. So I like girls.
Me too.
Good for you, Victor.
Okay, but first of all, what do you think the chances are that in week 17, Bill just decides to rest everybody for the playoffs? Because let's face it, Denver's not going to lose these two games. They're going to win, and we're not going to have that bye. So the thing that worries me most about right now about this team is the health, because I have no doubt in my mind that they can win three games in a row to get to the Super Bowl. So I don't have a problem with the extra game and all that stuff, because once Gronk gets back, this offense is going to really go to another level.
I disagree with you on resting. I think they have to play out the string and play to win both of these last two games, because I think they still have a chance to get at least the second seed.
I'm with you, Victor. I think it's much more important to be healthy and as well rested as you can. And the chances are they're going to have a game the following week. And generally when they do that, Belichick sort of gives the starters a little bit of a curtain call in that last game and they rest up. I think if you have a situation where Denver loses in Week 16, certainly you treat the Week 17 yeah. game differently because now you control your own destiny. And I think you also maybe you prepare to play the whole game on Week 17, but then maybe you look at the scoreboard in Denver and you see, I don't know if you know, those are probably 4 o'clock games, so you might not
have that
opportunity.
You won't have that opportunity.
But I don't think that you risk you know, having your team not as prepared for the playoffs as you might want them to be on the off chance that Denver loses a game. I think it's more important to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, at home against Cleveland and Kansas City, I think that's very unrealistic to expect Denver to lose one of those.
Although Cleveland, I give Cleveland a chance because they've been competitive with everybody this year.
But they don't beat anybody.
No, but they
competitive is one thing, but they don't win.
No, you're right, but they're at least in the game, so anything can happen at this stage.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to eliminate the. I'm not going to say 100% certainty they can't lose the game. And the Patriots lost to Arizona. You can lose to anybody. Anybody can lose to anybody. There's no, I can't get around that. I just think the chances of that happening are pretty slim. Whereas I think you benefit more by having your frontline guys rested for the playoffs.
I think it's more likely that Houston loses to Minnesota the way Minnesota's been playing. So, and if that's the case, now you have the tiebreaker with Minnesota. You have something to play for.
They have to lose twice.
Houston?
Houston has to lose twice.
If there's yeah, but if they're in a tie with New England,
they have to lose twice.
Oh, right.
To get
right. Yeah. My bad. I'm still thinking.
Denver only has to lose once,
but
Houston has to lose twice.
I'm thinking that we still had the three losses. Sorry.
Thanks for the call, Victor. I like I said, I can't eliminate the possibility of anybody losing. Andy's been on this bandwagon for 3 years now.
The league stinks.
I can't pencil in wins for anybody.
Cue.
You know, I can't just pencil in wins for anybody. But if I'm going to take the percentages, and I know Bill generally does, I think you can pretty much bank on Houston winning one of their games and Denver beating those two teams at home, which is the situation that we're in.
I got an interesting email, sort of a personal email.
You go
email,
to that email first, and I'll
sort of ties
go
into
to
the
Jefferson
show.
In Salt Lake City after
My
that.
Good buddy Matthew Chandler, who I played high school football with, was a Marine, is now in strength and conditioning, just took a job at and he's a listener, so he may be listening right now. I want to get it right. Servite High School in California.
Yeah, I know that.
Matthew Slater, as well as another number of other. But for our relations, he's now the head strength and conditioning coach at that high school.
That's a big-time job.
Yeah. The Khalil brothers. I don't know. He lifted a few
different like a factory.
They play, play against Barclays
Cal Poly?
Modern Day.
Modern
Day. He said it's kind
that's
of a dream
big rivalry,
job. He said it's really cool.
No, that's a big-time job, period. Yeah. Because that's not like high school football like we know around here.
It's fake high school football.
It's real high school football.
Where if you grow up in Connecticut and your dad thinks you have a chance to be good, you go to California and go to high school like that instead of just letting him be a kid and go to high school and be found normally.
Far be it from Andy to go 5 minutes without ripping somebody's decisions in life.
Who are you ripping now?
The douchebag dad of the USC quarterback, freshman. I forgot his name.
Grew up in like Fairfield County, Connecticut.
But his dad saw that he was talented. Got him to California where he could, you know, get the right coaching and get the chance to play at USC and all that. Because, you know, if he was good enough, he wouldn't played anywhere.
Let's
Ridiculous.
Go to Jefferson in Salt Lake City.
How's it going, guys?
It's going very well.
Awesome. Hey, big fan. First time I've ever called into the show. I've called into Playbook a couple of times, but I listen to you guys' podcast every single time you have it on, and can't tell you how much I appreciate what you guys do. Kind of a sad note. I've got to congratulate Eric on his pick. I talked to him last week, and predicted a 20-point-plus blowout for the Patriots and obviously didn't hit my mark. So kudos to you, Eric. Not that I'm happy about it because obviously my team lost.
No, and I'll take the blame for saying it was going to be a low-scoring affair with no touchdowns either.
Yeah, he did have 18-15 touchdowns. That was a wee bit off.
We were all over you yesterday, Sam. You can't take credit for that win.
I do appreciate the compromise. This is very big of you, Eric. One question that I wanted to ask you guys, I know it's cosmetic, and I mean I'm more worried about wins and obviously where we stand at the end of the day. But in terms of the MVP race, do you think that Tom Brady's performance on bringing the Patriots back? I mean, when he just looked to me like he had gotten fed up with everything that had been happening to the team, and I mean he was just surgical. I mean he threw three or four deep passes that were so on the money. In that comeback, and I mean, came just inches away from from making one of the best comebacks in the history of the NFL. I mean, do you think that did anything to, you know, further his MVP candidacy, or do you think that the fact that he had two interceptions probably deterred him a little bit?
I think it was a nothing game. I think it was a wash. I think had he had a dominating performance against the Niners, he could have maybe cemented a potential MVP run. I don't think he got hurt by it. I think he played a great defense tough and came up short in the end.
I actually think he did get hurt by it, and I don't think it's necessarily fair that he will get hurt by it. But I'm going to drop you, Jefferson, because the phone is killing us. But I feel like it's not necessarily fair, but I think people look at that and say he was a big part of the reason why they fell down with the two interceptions and just overall not moving the ball for 35 minutes. Yeah. You know, and putting 3 points on the board, and they look at it as, you know, a great comeback, but
I think
not,
if people watch the game, then they should not do it. Like, first of all,
I
mean, one of the picks had nothing to do with him.
No.
Absolutely nothing to do with him. The worst part of that play, well, the two worst parts were Hernandez being a punani and them deciding, and I'm assuming it's Josh, that that was the best play call. Let's go to the guy who just got his clock cleaned.
Bell rung. Yeah, absolutely. Noel in Denver is next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing all right.
Well, this is a real great place to be when the playoffs come about because the Denver fans come out of the woodwork. Like they did with Tebow last year, knocking Josh McDaniels, telling him how weak the Patriots are and how they've improved a hell of a lot. We haven't. And it's like, it's crazy here. You should come visit us. It's snowing today.
Oh, I love snow. See, we were talking about that. If you travel to Denver, divisional round, could be a snow game.
Uh-huh. Brady, Wouldn't that be great?
Tremendous. Manning, Brady in the snow yet again. Imagine that for Manning. He's like, I'm at home this time and it's snowing. I just can't get out of the snow.
And New England's undefeated in the snow.
I was playing golf the day before yesterday. Now it's snowing out.
Be tough for me to find my ball in the snow. When you go in the woods and it's snowing, that's a bad mix.
Hey, get a colored ball, man.
That's a good point. I do like orange. Should I play with those?
Let me ask you a question, and I'll hang up and listen to the answer if you don't mind.
Okay.
Hey, fellas, you know, I've been listening to these Denver guys forever, and, you know, this is a very passive-aggressive group. I wear my pass hat everywhere I go. I go to the gym. They don't look at you. But as soon as they start winning, they're in your face. I mean, I played golf with two guys Monday, and, why'd you wear that hat today? I said, because I'm a fan. Pal, yours isn't on because you're losers, you know? we had a good little, you know, bother going around the golf course. And, you know, I'm listening to these guys on the radio station, Big Al and D-Mac, and all these guys saying how the Broncos have improved. Well, we've improved as well. And I look at our team and I go, man to man, I don't see how the Broncos could beat us, okay? I'd like to hear your comments on that, if you don't mind.
Sure. I think the Broncos are a better football team, but I agree with you. I think the Patriots are a better football team.
I absolutely agree with that.
And the Patriots, we haven't seen the football team on either side of the ball that I think they can be. Offensively, if you can get Lloyd to not be 190 yards, but a couple plays down the field on the outside, and you add Gronkowski to Hernandez and Welker, I don't think anyone knows how good that offense can be, and no defense certainly has really had to prepare for it since week one. And, you know, even then, Lloyd was a big unknown, and maybe up to 2 weeks ago was an unknown, if you believe the last 2 weeks are sort of what he was brought here to be and is capable of being. So I think that's a very interesting situation. I think defensively, are the Patriots the team that looked like it was getting better or the team that looked like it was getting worse this week?
Yeah, I think that Denver, and I haven't watched them closely in all of these games during this long winning streak they've been on, but I do feel like they were a much different team, and doesn't it make sense that they were a different team?
Oh, God, yeah.
In the first couple of weeks of the season with Manning not having any idea, for the most part, about any of his weapons.
He had never played tough against good competition.
He had never played with anybody but Jacob Tammy, with those guys that he was throwing the ball to. So I think they're a little bit better now. I think that they got some addition by subtraction, losing Willis McGahee. And having no Sean Moreno take over for him, he's been a much better option in the running game than that they had earlier in the year. He's been much better. In their defense, I believe that Denver is the only team in football statistically ranked in the top five in both offense and defense. I don't think any other team has that. I might be wrong with that. Houston certainly could be in that mix, but I thought I heard that on ESPN last week. I think they're a better team than they showed in the first game. Now, I know the Patriots are a better team than they were in the first game. I know that because I've seen it. I watch it every week. I haven't seen Denver. But I think the Patriots are a better team. What are we laughing at? What's going
Fred's
on?
Fred's walking through the door with a purple Emerson jacket.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And a singlet. It
and
looks
a singlet.
Like.
It's a halflet now.
Let's get back. I'm going to go back to the emails. There's more Ridley fumble talk, Andy, so I'll direct this to you. If you watched the first fumble in the 49ers game that was overturned, his head got tweaked on the play. One of the defenders came over the top of him, and he was going down, and his head quickly rolled up and snapped back to the ground. With that happening, it is just like getting hit when you are not ready. I think he was just not ready for that kind of shock on the way down to the ground.
I don't really know.
Okay. Let's see. Pump the brakes, PFW, from Tim. All I hear is we're going to go. Go to Denver. Everyone is discounting the Ravens, Steelers, Bungles, and Colts. We're discounting the Bungles, but he calls them the Bungles. Okay. The Ravens have not technically won the division yet, so they could still be a playoff team.
What does that mean? Oh, he's saying we could play them if they lose the division.
Sure. Yeah. Preseason, the only team in the AFC I was worried about was Baltimore. The way those four teams are playing of late, the best team has to be the Bungles and the Red Rifle. Strongly disagree with that. I was one of those people that counted out the Jets when they went to New England in the playoffs. I told my buddy, if the Pats lost, he'd do something to his buddy if the Pats lost. We agreed what? I didn't have to honor that bet. You play four quarters, one game at a time.
Over.
No.
Oh. Getting down on his knees.
Yes.
Oh.
I don't think we should be talking about
that?
Going to Denver.
Right. Why would the buddy accept that bet?
I think we should be talking about those possible wild card teams and what they can do and what they're doing bad right now. Tim is saying, let's not just chalk up that wild card game as a victory just yet.
See. Who has?
Let's see what happens. Well, you know, the curses of the world.
Oh.
Well, no, I think a lot of people have because they've skipped right over and going, it's hard to win in Denver. Well, you got to win at home first.
Right. That
but
is correct.
You should win at home. I mean, you can't overlook
correct.
It, but you should win your opening home playoff game. You're the better football team.
You should.
By far.
Yeah.
Because you're a team that a week earlier was battling to be the number one or number two seed. You should at least beat the team that's going to kind of creep into the playoffs here. I mean, if it's Baltimore, you're backing into the playoffs, essentially. You're on a dismal decline.
Right.
Joel in Atlanta thinks that Kaepernick is having a year like Brady did when he took over in 2001. But if we had to play them again, he believes that the Patriots would beat them.
I think Kaepernick's having actually a better year.
One game with the 49ers was the...
he had a great game. I'm not going to... You know, he missed some throws, but he still had a great game this week.
He made some amazing throws.
Oh, yeah.
The Patriots needed to play. We are so used to watching them blow teams out by 50. When they are down, a lot of people count them out. We need to learn how to win close games, and that will be that will show the character of the team. That's Joel in Atlanta.
Right. The Jets overtime wasn't close.
Now, Fred, you're awfully argumentative. Just
the Miami game wasn't close.
Just upon walking through the door.
Well, I figured, you know, I'd let people know I'm here.
By the way, I'd much rather beat two non-playoff teams close than blow them out. I'd rather blow out teams that I should blow out.
What do you think of Michael Vick to the Jets?
Oh, there's a lot of rumors. I don't know.
Yeah, Melvin in Tennessee passed that along.
Well, so I don't know if you guys heard, but there's a big rumor out there right now that's been confirmed. Tony Grossi, longtime Cleveland Brown beat writer, is saying that Joe Banner is going to be in place as the overall kind of overseer.
Yep.
He's going to bring in Mike Lombardi as a glorified personnel guy.
Right.
And that the coach that they're most targeting is Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. 10 years, $100 million.
What?
Yeah. You might as well just close your franchise.
But that they realize that's a long shot. And McDaniels is another one of the coaches that is being tossed around there.
And according to the Plain Dealer, through a source, McDaniels would jump at the chance to go coach the Cleveland Browns.
And to go home.
Don't you think that's kind of weird, though? That, you know, you had all this craziness, you're in a good place, and now you're ready to just jump back in as a head coach again?
Well, that's what if that's what he
Absolutely.
Wants to be.
Dream job,
now,
your
now,
home
now
state.
Here's, now here's
2 years out, Fred.
I know, but...
2 years out, not one.
But here's why I think if that might be a good situation for him if he did. I don't think he should go into a place where he's assumed to have control.
Right.
And in this case, he wouldn't.
Right.
You know?
I think it's bad because of the guy who has control. But
well, that's besides the point. But at least he can come in and just coach.
Because what's he going to do when the guy who's in control says, I want Brian Hoyer as my quarterback? Here, Josh, make it work.
I want to say that it was Jason Cole sent out a tweet yesterday saying that he had spoken to a source who he has never heard say, that's not going to happen, any more emphatically than he did about Nick Saban going to Cleveland.
And people that are close to Nick Saban have said if he ever did want to test the NFL waters again, it wouldn't be in Cleveland.
Because he's a man of his word.
Exactly.
And why would he go in there with Joe Banner having control and Mike Lombardi?
Well, Mike Lombardi, I mean, that was that Bedard who wrote that? Yep. Saban has sort of told people that if he went back, he would want Lombardi as his personnel man.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. There's a
tie-in. They have a connection from Cleveland.
Yeah, from Cleveland. Now, I'm sure by personnel man, it's kind of like Pioli was Belichick's personnel man.
Right.
You know, he'd still have control, but he'd be the guy.
You don't need to take your statement back, Fred, because I think it's accurate. I think Saban would be the guy in control.
Well, that's what I'd say. He would have to be in control.
The same way that Andy just talked about with Pioli and Belichick.
Yeah. It's a weird situation because there's a lot of cooks, it sounds like. Because Banner is going to focus on football because he just hired a CEO to run the signage and business.
Some guy from Cowboys Stadium. Did you see some of his quotes from that yesterday?
Which one?
There was something about, you know, so who's going to have final say? And he said, these are decisions that we'll talk about when we make the decisions.
Right.
What?
Right.
And then we haven't even mentioned Jimmy Haslam.
So whoever becomes the coach, whoever's suggestion that was is the guy who ultimately has final say. That's when we determine it.
And Jimmy Haslam, who apparently is going to give a portion of his franchise to Gruden to coach Tennessee, is also going to pay $100 million to Nick Saban.
My question is, if all this happens, Lombardi, will he still give us the scouting reports? Because, you know.
good call. One of his better scouting reports this week was how bad San Francisco's offensive line was. That worked out well. We blitzed them more than we blitzed anybody all year. We got nowhere near the quarterback. What a terrible offensive line the Niners have.
Now, will he bring his dog with him? What's the stupid dog's name?
Bella.
That barks in the background?
Let's check in with Olivier in Virginia. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to turn over the director chair to Fred Kirsch.
Okay.
Olivier.
Hey, Howie, I was hoping to talk to Paul for once since he was chairing the whole thing.
Well, he's going to a different microphone. Yeah, don't worry. He can still talk.
Right, I'm here.
He's back. Oh, my God. He made it all the way across.
Oh, fantastic. And he didn't fumble.
No.
No. I was holding it high and tight.
Excellent. Oh. high and tight. I'm sorry.
Andy.
Is that how you like your women, high and tight?
Oh, yeah. Welcome back.
That's certainly how Alvin likes his women.
Oh, baby. Hey, I was calling. I saw the game on NFL replay again last night.
Yeah, I saw some of it too.
I was looking at the entire game, and I, of course, Brady had his moment, and it was very difficult in the first half. But then what he did to come back, and it made me think a little bit of the Super Bowl, where he brought the team back, and then our receivers and tight ends and so forth starting to have, you know, dropolitis again. I mean, and what's going on with them? Why do they keep on choking at the highest moment of the game? I mean, Hernandez drops, Welker drops, and so forth. Have you guys seen any reason for that? It was just because they are just overpaid player, they're not hungry anymore. But I feel Brady always has to do everything, and then he tries, and people let him down. And I think Giselle was right.
He cannot throw the ball and catch it too.
Hey, this is true.
Wow.
What? That's what he basically said in an accent. Hernandez has done this all along.
Yeah, but somebody else who uses an accent.
Paul got mad at me because I've said this in the past, but he would be a great player if he didn't get hurt all the time and drop so many balls.
I don't get mad. Exactly.
I mean, that's what Hernandez is.
I get mad when you made fun of him in that mocking tone with my name attached to it.
Yeah, well, that happens occasionally. But I know some people have started to say, and this is the dangers of a big contract, oh, he's got the big contract, now he's fat and happy, he doesn't want to make any plays, he's afraid to get hit.
I think
he's the same guy he's been.
I think he's been soft
and had questionable hands since the day he got here.
Yeah, and the second interception by Brady is his fault entirely.
Yep, 100%. The only guy who could get even a sliver of the blame is Josh McDaniels for saying, hey, I have an idea. The guy who just got his head knocked off, let's throw him a little screen pass.
Yeah.
But part of that, you might be saying, let's get his confidence back. Let's make an easy one and throw him a screen pass. So it's hard to say. The main culprit there is Hernandez.
There seems to be a lot of people on the other team around him for a screen pass.
Yes. That's what happens when you throw schemes against athletic, big, aggressive defenses who don't just sit there and take it.
Right.
They're going to come at you.
Right.
Yeah, he seemed to be afraid and shaken.
Yes,
and not stirred.
Maybe
I agree, but I don't. I also don't absolve Brady of any blame. Going back to Super Bowls and all that. I mean, we don't need to rehash history, but the Welker throw / catch / bad throw, whatever.
Yeah,
there's a lot that goes into these plays. Brady's not perfect. He's pretty close, but not perfect.
All right, Olivier.
Hey, thanks, guys. Okay. Have a great afternoon.
Okay,
take care.
Thanks.
Just to reiterate, they were trying to, you know, that whole shoulder thing with Brady. You know, Brady's quote was never said anything about shoulder.
No, you're the one who reported.
I never said anything about. I never said anything about shoulder. And Brady just said it was a physical game. So yeah, when he was asked if he had to ice your arm a little bit after Monday night, it was a physical game. So yeah, I think everyone is a little sore from that game. He said nothing about his shoulder being sore.
No, that was you.
No, that was strippers.
So what have I missed? Anything good?
No.
No.
We didn't even have any fights.
Paul was hosting.
What's I guess
so?
I got
no fights.
So nothing good.
I got a couple emails about winning the Super Bowl with a Jag quarterback. Did we have a discussion about that?
Nope. No, but I was going to get to that email. What does he say?
Well, Ed says one of two. He says Baltimore won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, which proves you can win with a Sanchez quality quarterback. It doesn't happen often, but it can be done.
If you have the greatest defense.
I agree with that.
He was also a better quarterback than
Sanchez. But Trent Dilfer was 1,000 times better than Mark Sanchez has been the last 2 years, number one.
And
number
Sanchez
two,
rode that gravy train when he had the defense.
The list of Dilfer-like quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl is very, very small.
Brad Johnson?
It's short. So is his Johnson.
Brad Johnson, Mark Rippon.
Doug Williams?
Not a Jag.
No?
No. Not at that level.
Flash in the pan.
Maybe one hit.
I would also put Mark Rippon in that category. He
had a great,
huge numbers.
He had a great year that year. But
he wasn't a great quarterback.
No, but he was a better that year than Sanchez has ever been in a single game in
Doug
his life.
Doug Williams.
Jeff Hostetler.
Doug Williams.
I would call him a Jag.
Yeah, but I also.
Phil Sims is not a Jag.
Phil Sims is not a Jag, number one.
Accurate quarterback.
Jeff Hostetler never would have sniffed the Super Bowl if he had to play the whole year. And he proved that when he played whole
and he had a great
Oakland.
Defense and a great offensive line.
They were 11-0 when he took over.
Right.
He would not have gotten to the playoffs by himself.
I agree.
That quarterback,
the look,
that we talked about. Yeah.
Long hair, mustache, not going to happen.
Doug Williams was like the number one overall pick. He's not, you know.
I know, but
I know that doesn't make you automatically a good quarterback. Trent Dilfer was the sixth overall pick.
Yeah.
But
Tim Couch.
Doug Williams was a lot better quarterback than
Eric
Trent
Crouch
and Trent Dilfer. Keely
Smith.
Well, he was a third round pick.
Yeah. He also.
TG and NG, NJ
Fred
writes.
Fred loses control quickly. He just spirals down a road.
He immediately thinks of Tim Couch.
Word association. Eric Crouch. Freddie played
and
safety and was a third round pick.
And Buckle Kilroy with that crunch kid. Yeah, that crunch kid is pretty good.
TG and NJ says, guys, with the Jags and Finns being.
Sucky.
Something last two games left. Obviously not marquee games, games that most assume the Pats should win handily and will most likely not get much attention. The rest of the league will be busy with their attention on bigger games like San Francisco and Seattle and Giants and Redskins. Is there a possibility for the Pats to fly under the radar for a while, at least until the playoffs start? If so, could that be a good thing? Seems we need to get healthy, just win out and not rock the boat. What do you think? Anything to it? And then he talks about the McDaniels thing. I was thinking, like, What if the Bill Belichick said, you know what, we're guaranteed a home game first week of the playoffs. Let's settle on that. Let's you know, use this next game as a rest game, and then maybe we'll start Mallett in the final game. Have Brady come in second half as a tune up, and we're ready.
I think it's too risky, only because you still have a chance to get a bye. I don't think you should take that lightly.
But it's a slim chance in.
It's a slim chance to get the number one seed. It's not a slim chance to get the bye.
Of course it's a slim chance to get the
it
bye.
Is.
You need the team ahead of you to lose to a very, very bad team at home.
Right.
They're going to be double-digit favorites
then,
in both of those games.
And if you go for that, that means you have to win your final two games, which means you have to take
Well, they're
going to
win the final two games regardless of who they play. Can we agree
on
that?
If Ryan Mallett starts?
No. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to start, but I think they would be Jacksonville with Ryan Mallett starting.
Yes,
I think they would beat Jacksonville.
Time?
I'm not sure they'll beat Miami
what?
With Ryan
you think
Mallett.
Miami
starting.
Could give them a hard time.
Could give them a hard time. Yeah, I don't think they can beat them.
You don't think they could beat Ryan Mallett?
No, not in Foxborough.
Really?
I do, Fred.
I do.
Yeah,
too.
I do too.
I have my doubts about Ryan Mallett.
Am I eliminating the possibility of the Patriots losing the game? No, but
okay. So
I think that they'll win even if they don't play everybody
right
60
now,
minutes.
If you believe that it's a slim chance to get a bye, what's more important, the health of the team or
health?
You know, going balls out for that bye.
Help. 100% help. Most important factor.
That, I agree.
Especially
and
with
I
some of the guys, like the
so
whole offensive line
so
with back
injuries.
So you treat
one of these weeks like a bye.
Or both.
You know?
Well, I think you're going to get some rest for guys that need rest. Brandon Spikes, Wes Welker.
Sebastian Bowman.
Offensive linemen, inclusive.
I've convinced myself I think some of these guys
are going to rest. That's what they do every year when they don't have a bye.
I know, but I've convinced myself that they're saying, you know what? This isn't the worst thing that we, you know, are going to have a hard time getting a bye. We can create our own bye.
Well, you can't rest everybody.
No, I know.
You can't create your own bye.
You think Tom Brady's absence of practice?
They have to play a game in the bye week.
No, I know.
So they can't create their own bye.
But guys like Tom Brady and some of the offensive linemen, and you know, guys that really need the rest.
Well, Brady was not at practice today.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if that plays into your thinking at all.
Well, I mean, he's missed days. You know,
not much this year.
But missing a practice isn't the same as not playing.
Last year, late in the season, I believe he missed some practice time late in the year.
I didn't know if that was why you were speculating about that.
Oh no, no. I was just thinking. You know, I'm people are just, you know, worried about this bye, and it's like, well, you know, you can kind of create your own thing if you don't worry about it.
But you dumb thing. But if you're honestly going to treat these like a bye, don't you have to sign a quarterback? You can't go into a game with a single quarterback, can you?
And I don't think you. I also don't think you want to have Tom Brady saying you're not going to play today.
Well, they have the extra roster spot.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Put him in.
But I think if you're treating these like a bye and Brady isn't playing, you have to sign a quarterback.
Vinny Testaverde.
I also think that, Fred, as many different ways as you want to spin it, you can't get a bye. They have to play an extra game.
I know, but. The key guys, the guys that were most West.
No, we don't have key guys around
here. Missing,
I don't know if you missed
it
in the explanation of why Rob Gronkowski played on the PAT team late in the game. You know, we don't have key guys around here. We have guys.
Why do you get so literal?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you taught me to take Bill at his word.
I told you I haven't done that since 2001.
Week 3 of 2001?
But I'm kind of convincing myself of this now.
Like, no, I know that you are. That's my point.
Forget about the bye.
It's not
so
about
what,
the
you
bye.
Want them to take
it's about
this
the
as
extra
bye.
Game
I'm
that you have to play.
I'm actually talking about this Jacksonville game as a rest game. Tune up.
So who rests?
Brady.
Give me the list. I don't want just guys. I want the list.
Brady, Welker, Spikes.
Gronkowski. Hernandez?
Maybe Hernandez. Maybe not Hernandez. He needs to get his ass out there.
I'm mad at him.
You know. But I think that you're fixating on
Vollmer,
on a bye week.
Yeah. Mankin.
So they have a week of rest. You're fixating on that part of it.
As it is too.
The part that they lost is the not having to play a game and then going on the road.
I know.
So like you keep saying, everybody's fixated on this bye. Yeah, with good reason. But it's important.
I know, but one of the main things that people talked about the bye was, oh, they need the rest. They need the rest. They need the rest. Okay, well, the rest can come now.
But it can't, really.
But it can't.
I know.
You can't get that back in the playoffs. You have to play
four. But the point is, now you don't have the bye. So how do you make the best of that situation?
By managing your health.
Which is what he
right.
does every year.
You can't treat it like a bye, but you can manage your health.
To the best of your ability, you can, yes.
Right.
Right.
That's what he does every year when they don't have a bye.
But
Brady
is different.
I'm talking about now. Do it this week so that next week you don't come in, you know, having, you know, you use next week as the tune-up. To the first playoff game, this is the game that you.
Well,
treat
do you need
like
rest up. Or not?
What
do you need rest or not?
I believe some of the guys could use it.
Well, then why this week and not next week? That's defeating the purpose.
No, it isn't.
Of course it is.
You just need a week of rest.
You get a big booger hanging out of your nose.
So, well, they had a week of rest in week 9. Is that a week of rest? No, of course not.
But that's
you
not,
need the rest going into the game.
That's not close. You know what I'm saying? It's not close to the playoffs.
Why not try to get it as close as possible?
Thank you.
Yeah, you talk about defeating your own argument.
No, I don't think it's that
First
bad.
Of all, Bill doesn't, and unless he changes something, he's not going to say on Monday, Brady, take the week off.
I don't.
And we're not suggesting it's the end of the world before you have us back on that ledge that you created yesterday.
I don't
yesterday.
Pay Bill into any corner.
Well, I heard one analyst say on TV, he was taping something, that he doesn't think the Patriots can go to the Super Bowl without the bye.
Yeah.
What was that?
That
was unfair.
Let me just.
I didn't say who it was. I said one analyst.
Let me just say this.
That was
the Patriots unfair. Nation.
Don't say it.
That's a possibility, right? It's not going
to. You don't have to say
so
anything.
Say
I do because I was forced to say something on Patriots All Access.
Who were you at gunpoint?
I truly don't believe in. Well, it was the other 2/3 of the segment were already taped, so I was kind of painted into a corner. I do believe that
apologize.
The Patriots can go to the Super Bowl without having a bye. So. So anything that I say,
disregard the man on the television.
It was like I was one of those hostages, and I had to read a note. You know,
That's what it was like.
All right, Baghdad Bob.
So that may not see the light of day, though, right?
Yeah, it may not. I don't think it will. Yeah.
Right. And no one thinks that they don't have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, even watching NFL Network now, they just had their brackets on both sides, and they had the Patriots beating Denver in Denver and then going to the AFC Championship game against Houston.
Who did they have the Patriots beating first?
I don't know. I didn't see the beginning of the segment. I only saw the 2-3 with Denver.
I think that's interesting.
There's another example of
first round.
That ledge that you created yesterday, there's very few people on it.
Except you on TV.
Talking monotone voice.
That's unfair.
I wasn't
going to
bring
unfair.
It up specifically.
You did.
I didn't put a name and a face in a
I
person.
Think the immediate reaction after the game was, you know, that knee-jerk emotional reaction, and people were upset. I talked them off the ledge.
All three of you.
And people now feel better about it.
Yes.
And now I've come all the way to the point where, okay, let's make lemonade out of lemons.
By not playing the second-to-last.
By using the second-to-last game
as a de facto bye week. The first half of the Miami game, that's a rest, too. And then you bring in the starters.
Why
the
would you want
half.
Them to play later? I don't understand. If you want rest.
He wants them to get beat up as close to the playoff
exactly.
game as possible.
It just makes no sense.
It's a little bit of a tune-up. I don't like seeing guys having 2 weeks off and then going into the playoffs like the Colts used to do, and then they lose every year.
Name me one time that happened.
You know, every year they would be accused of that.
When you have a bye week, you don't need that. When you
I know,
don't
but
have
we
a bye
don't
week,
have a bye week now.
And Bill always does it the same way. Go back and look. Matt Castle threw the ball over the guy's head on purpose.
Well, that was to get the proper seating.
Because they had a play the next week.
But Matt Castle was playing. We're not talking about the proper seating. We're talking about Matt Castle making the throw.
Brian and Essex for
Tom Brady could have overthrown him just as easily as Matt Castle.
Well, not as easily because at some point Brady's muscle memory would have taken over. Oh, damn it. I didn't mean it, Bill. It happened. I threw it to him.
Yeah, but I think this. What you're doing, by doing what I'm saying, is you've basically said, we're fine with where we are right now. There's no need to jockey for any other position.
Tell what you're doing. You're setting yourself up for immense criticism of how you botched the end of your season.
Well, okay.
Because that would be certainly untraditional. That would be outside the box to completely rest a team the second to last game, rest them the first half of the last game, and then play them in the second half of the final game. No one else has done that before. I haven't done any research, but I'm saying never.
And then to Eric's point, at least you have to let the teams win one game before you just say the bye is out of the question. Make Denver win the game this week and make Houston win one of their last two before you just completely mail in the bye.
You're in Jackson.
But I thought we've said that being healthy is more important than the bye, right?
It is, but you can be both.
You can be both. If Denver poops themselves.
That's a big
Houston.
Though.
Yeah, but you're eliminating
But you want to just take this week off and risk losing.
You're not only playing Ryan Mallett, you're giving him no weapons
not
to work with.
Not risk losing. I'd say I don't care if I lose.
That's what I'm saying.
But
why
you will
just
care if Denver loses.
What if you did that?
Then you'll kick yourself in the ass.
What if you did that? What if you did that and Denver lost?
Yeah.
You'd kick yourself.
You would, but I just think that right now we're happy. We know we're gonna play our first game at home. Probably have to go on the road second.
Then why did they bother playing any of the last eight games? They've known they're gonna play their first game at home.
Yeah. All right,
since they clinched the division before Thanksgiving.
I think that we're that much better than all the other teams. That health is our only issue.
Remember what I told you at the beginning of the show.
Health is our only.
Fred
issue.
Thinks the Patriots are one in the AFC. Now I think they are too, and Andy agrees. We think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. The difference between us is I think Houston is 2 and Denver might be 2A. You think Houston is 11 and Denver's about 14. You think there's no in-between. You think there's nobody even close to the Patriots.
I think
that's absolutely absurd.
I think the Patriots are...
Two teams that have a better record than the Patriots you don't think can even be on the same field as the Patriots.
I think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC.
But by far... Well, I think they're the best team in the AFC.
Enough where I don't care what week or
you
where
don't
we
care.
Play.
There's no way they can beat you. That's what you feel.
I feel
impossible.
Not impossible.
Better is not. Of course. Beginning not. To describe how the difference between the Patriots and those other teams.
I think we're.
Clear. Andy and I think the Patriots are better. You think that there's no comparison, correct?
No, that's not correct.
Well, then you should care about where the game is played.
No,
that's why I think it's a big deal to buy.
Because
I think that they're a little bit better than Denver and Houston, and having them at home means a lot.
Yeah.
You think it's meaningless.
I think, obviously, I'd love to be at home, but at this point, I think my health is more important.
So is their health.
If I'm at home and I'm unhealthy, then I have, you know, just as little chance as being on the road.
But if you can get a week off, that will help you get healthier.
Right.
So
how about a week and a half?
But then beat yourself up right at the end of that week.
Yeah, I don't
exactly.
understand why you're even worried about it, because it doesn't matter to you where you play.
Well, I need health. It does. My health matters.
Are they healthy now?
No, I don't think so. I think they're a little banged up.
But
yeah. You don't think they're healthy enough to beat those teams right now?
Possibly, yeah. But,
possibly. They just beat them 42-14.
You know, but I think that being even healthier is better, isn't it?
Of course. The healthier you are, the better it is.
And if I bang my
but
head...
But I would rather have a bye week and be healthy that way than have to manufacture some week 16 bye that you've come up with and play balls to the wall in the second half of week 17.
So if we have a key injury in this game, are we kicking ourselves?
No, yeah. No, because you're fighting for a bye.
Football players play football. At some point, you have to actually feel the team.
I understand.
You want to put them in bubble wrap?
Like at the first quarter, if Tom Brady goes out and gets hurt, am I kicking myself? No. Now, if it's the fourth quarter of the Miami game, that's a little bit different. Fourth quarter of the Miami game, you know, I'm thinking a little bit differently. I'll take your side.
Fred would have big balls as a head coach. I'm not sure it'd be brains, but the balls would be big.
I've come kind of full circle, not full circle, 180 degrees.
No, you've rationalized the fact that it doesn't matter that they lost the game because the Patriots are the best team in football.
In the AFC.
Right. So who do you think they're going to play in the AFC Championship game?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
I'm just asking you what you think.
I'd have to look at the seedings by the end of the season, but it could be the Texans in Houston or, you know. So?
At Denver? Possibility?
Sure. Of course it could be a possibility.
You don't think it matters? You don't think it matters? They're the best team. They're going to go to the Super Bowl.
I think they're going to beat. I think they're better than either of those teams.
So they're going to the Super Bowl.
I believe that. Don't you?
No.
Well, you haven't believed it since 2004. So, you know. You know, when did the window close?
It was
it
after
this year.
Right.
And then at last year, there's no way you're going to Super Bowl anytime soon.
Right. So there's no sense.
He's closed the window like five times.
I mean, you don't think whether they
The damn thing won't shut. That's the problem.
You don't believe whether they have the bye. It doesn't matter. They're not going to the Super Bowl. So what's the sense in talking about it?
I think it matters.
I think it does matter. I think it does matter.
But you don't think they can go to the Super Bowl either way. You don't think they're going to the Super Bowl?
No.
If they had the bye?
If they had a bye, I would give them a chance, but I think if they have to go to Houston,
now they don't have a chance.
If they have to go to Houston or Denver,
why is it okay that you don't think there's a chance they could lose, but it's not okay that he doesn't think there's a chance they could win?
I believe they have a chance to lose.
No, you don't.
I think they're better.
You're lying,
Fred.
You're lying. You don't think there's a chance.
The Arizona Cardinals.
You don't think there's a chance they could lose.
Of course I do.
Say it. Say it right. You don't think they can lose.
Of course I do.
You're also not.
The NFL.
You think they need to get stunned?
If they play upset. If they have four turnovers in the first half, they'll lose to the Bengals.
There he goes. Andy Hart with his helmet on.
Okay,
I
listen.
Bring some levity.
It doesn't matter who they play. If they play poorly, they're going to lose.
You're also not considering that as the 3 seed, they could still host the AFC Championship game.
They could if the seeds above them lose. Yeah,
exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
So I'm not saying that they're definitely just now.
You would say right now, if you had to pick who's going to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC, it would not be the Patriots, regardless of seeding.
Not regardless of seeding.
Who's going to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC?
I think it's going to be Houston.
Okay, so it's not the Patriots. That's all you have to say.
But not regardless of seeding. If Houston loses the next two games and the Patriots win it,
yes, then
I think he's saying the Patriots.
Yes. Okay, so you're saying it's,
that's my point. For you, it doesn't matter.
Don't answer for him, please.
No, because I feel the same way. No,
so you think it's up to the seeding as to who goes to the Super Bowl?
I think it plays a huge.
Andy has his high school
helmet with the headphones on outside.
It
looks like the Great Gazoo.
But the funny thing is, they're no more stretched out than when he doesn't have the helmet.
Screw you guys.
No, but Eric.
No,
let me just get this clear.
Yes,
it really is up to seeding for you.
It matters. Yes,
I know it matters. Of course, it matters.
I would not favor the Patriots to win on the road twice.
I
would not favor the Patriots to win at Denver and Houston.
Yeah, okay. I would not.
But if seeding changes, then I would favor the Patriots
absolutely.
If they were at
so,
home.
So
absolutely.
You're the same thing. You're the same as Eric. If the Patriots
seeding
don't have
matters,
a bye, you're not going to favor them to get to the Super Bowl.
Not unless the teams above them lose and they get to host the AFC title game.
Okay.
Right. That's why you got mad at me yesterday for being argumentative, but I don't know what's going to happen in the next 4 weeks.
Well, neither do I, but I'm asking you to make a pick.
Because for you in the next 4 weeks, it doesn't matter what happens, Fred. You think the Patriots are the favorite.
I do.
Period. And that's fine. That's your opinion.
I do.
And we don't. But for me, against Denver in Houston, I'm not the favorite.
But by saying that, you mock me. Well,
no,
everybody's
I'm not
here, and everybody else is 11 and 17 except for the Patriots.
No,
by
I'm
saying
not,
that.
I'm not mocking you, Fred.
You did.
No. But
you did mock me.
Am I not accurately portraying your
No,
thoughts?
You're not.
You don't care where the games
are
played.
And then I just said, yeah, of course they can lose a game. Because you don't, you're lying.
Because I don't think that you think they can lose based on what you said.
I just said they can.
Because I think you're trying to be argumentative.
The best team doesn't always win, Paul.
There you go. Okay, that's my point. You think it doesn't matter where they're playing, who they play, what time of day, the Patriots are better. I don't think that.
I do.
I think the Patriots are better here.
I do.
I don't necessarily think they're better there.
I do.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So you don't think they're going to lose.
I don't think everyone's...
You don't think they can lose. That's all. And... Your argument is not out of the realm.
I don't understand that. It just because I say
because you think
better,
the only way they can lose is if they turn the ball over four times and play a terrible game.
That's right.
Not the only way. I think they can lose.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, you don't have as much faith in the team as I do.
That's exactly my point. That you're just trying to be argumentative. That's all.
And he's so good at it.
Exactly. I mean, you're beating up on poor Eric. I don't think that he's saying something that's ridiculous.
I don't swoop in and save Eric.
Like I don't think Eric is. Irrational for saying that he feels differently about the Patriots playing a playoff game against one of those teams here as opposed to there.
Obviously,
it doesn't matter for you.
The odds go up, no doubt about it, but I still think the Patriots are the best
right.
team
and
in the AFC.
And I don't think that's irrational. I don't think that you're irrational for thinking that.
Especially in the league.
I just disagree with you.
That's
all.
It's
crap. I'm not making fun of you at all. For you, it doesn't matter who the other team is. For me, it does.
All right.
That's all.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition.
We apologize for the last 15 minutes.
You think the Patriots are head and shoulders better than anybody in the AFC? I don't.
I think they're the best team in the AFC. Yes,
right.
I do.
I think they're the best team. I don't think it's by a wide margin.
Are they the best team in the NFL?
What?
Are they the best team in the NFL?
Probably not at this point.
Who do you think is?
I think right now the 49ers are better. I think Green Bay might give them a hard time. All those teams in the NFC seem to be a little bit more balanced than the AFC teams right now, but
So the Patriots aren't your favorite to win the Super Bowl.
But what was the rest part? That might change, right, in the next couple of weeks, right?
What do you mean?
Right now you're looking at some of those NFC teams as being a little bit more balanced, but
yeah.
But 3, 4, 5 weeks from now you might think a little differently, right?
If the Patriots do my formula and rest up, I will absolutely feel differently. All right.
So conditions can change. Thank you.
John Rook has his helmet on. He's ready.
Whose logo is this?
Dartmouth Indians.
Oh, this is Dartmouth?
Yeah.
Dartmouth High School.
John Rook has
You don't really think you went to Dartmouth College.
Yeah, Dartmouth College.
A lot of room in that helmet, huh, John? Very roomy.
It's not roomy at all. I don't think I can get it off.
Liberal Punanis took away the Indian up in Dartmouth.
Before you yell at me, did you actually get into Dartmouth?
This thing's heavy.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm not even sure I applied.
I applied. I didn't get in.
Should be the Providence College helmet, dressed in black.
Do they have football
undefeated since 1912?
They used to. Back in the up until the 1950s.
Back when they had leather helmets?
Early
Who's
50s.
Undefeated since 1912?
Yeah, certainly no face guards, that's
right.
For sure.
Right.
Providence had a football team at one point?
Long time ago.
Long time ago.
That was back at the beginning of Rook's career, the 1950s.
Well,
he moved over to PC football from the Steamrollers.
Nice, thank you.
NFL champion.
Yes.
Back in
the Hofstra, huh?
All right, John's up next.
Possibly.
John's up next with the playbook. What do you got?
He's got a helmet on.
I got a helmet
on.
It's
just funny looking.
We may auction it off. I don't know.
Different colors, offense, defense, and special teams?
Right now, the Dartmouth High Athletic Director wants to know why Andy Hart has a helmet.
Right.
Easy now. Yeah. We don't need to get into that.
Will this come off?
All right. Well, as for us, we'll see you tomorrow, Thursday. Tomorrow's a big day. We have the Christmas poem.
The hair is completely
Christmas poem. We have picks, so it's a big show tomorrow. Stay tuned for the playbook. And Cold Hard Football Facts at 4 o'clock.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.